Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street in front of the Sandberg Mall. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. Altogether, better. Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Reed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Dave's Auto Body on Grant Avenue in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee with Silver Streaks Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Just ahead of the postseason, the Galesburg boys basketball team looks to finish the regular season on a high note tonight. They will be at Canton coming up Tuesday night to face either Limestone or the host Little Giants on Tuesday, so there won't be much of a turnaround. Got to play well tonight to get ready for the postseason, and this is a team that is looking for a way to finish on a positive note. The Silver Streaks will go with the same starting five that has become the norm here in the last several weeks. Devin Ross and Ethan Maker have been starting all season long. So has Eric Thompson, the 6'7 junior. J.J. Range has been moved into the starting lineup and continues to hold that spot. And then finally, Joe Williams, a 6-foot senior for the Silver Streaks who returned a few weeks ago. For United Township, it'll be a sophomore who's been playing a lot of point guard for them, Deontay Walker at 5'8". And then guys who we've been seeing for several years and have caused some real problems for the Silver Streaks at times. Certainly no more than Lamont Mitchell, the 6'5 senior who's very athletic. Can really get some things done, but can also kind of disappear from the game at times. He can go into some lulls where he doesn't get involved in the offense a whole lot. Taylor Lopez, a 6'2 junior, can get on a hot streak, and Jacob Mieske can really knock it down from the outside if you leave him open. And the final starter in the lineup is 6'6 junior, Nate Zinke. I want to give you some regional championship updates from around the area. Coach Bob Anderson's Williamsfield Bombers lead Ridgewood after one quarter, 21-17. Monmouth-Roseville has a halftime lead of 12 over Farmington, 39-27. Rockridge has opened up a 9-point lead over Kewaunee at the half, 26-17, as the Rockets held the Boilers just 5 points in the second quarter. And Brimfield and Peoria Christian, big matchup there. 54 combined wins between those two teams, and it's Brimfield at halftime, 32-27. I guess, Jim, the real eye-opener is the South Fulton Abingdon-Avon score with a halftime score of 16-6 in favor of South Fulton there.
6 points at the half?
I've had to check that several times because it just doesn't seem possible.
No, I mean, I know Abingdon-Avon, their MO is to play those low-scoring defensive games, but usually they're on the high side of that here of late. Can't imagine them being held to 6 points. That game being played in South Fulton's gym, so they're very comfortable down there, but I really thought A-Town, who beat them down there a few weeks ago, would probably do it again.
Yeah. All the conference games in the Quad Cities here tonight. Rock Island at Moline, Quincy at Alleman, here tonight at East Moline. The Silver Streaks battling the Panthers in the final game of this 2014-15 regular season. Silver Streaks win the tip as they have much of the season with Eric Thompson jumping center. Here's Joe Williams driving inside the free throw line. Cut off there. In traffic, needs to get it out, and they call a 3-second lane violation. Seemed a little quick.
Yep. Like we had the ball much longer than that. Well, and what's the rule on a jump ball? Because I thought Eric Thompson got away with one there. That ball hadn't much more left the official's hands, and it definitely hadn't reached its peak when
certainly
he swatted
not, no.
it.
That's the last game of the regular season. I guess they figured, I'll just let it go. So on the outside, this is Nate Zinke. Now gets it over to Mieske, who gets bumped after the shot by Devin Ross, as Mieske had, that one was out of his hands a good second and a half when Ross came over from the low side and undercut him. Mieske was well off the mark with the shot, so he's got three free throws coming.
Yeah, Mieske hit a couple of key shots in that East Moline win at our place last month. And, you know, it was one of those a little surprising in the fact that, you know, we were so geared up to be worried about Miles and about Mitchell, and it ended up Mieske was really the key guy. Now, again, he had opportunities, I think, a lot and to a large degree because Galesburg and other teams were so worried about the other players.
And Mieske makes all three free throws. So couldn't have been a worse 30 seconds to start the game here tonight for the Silver Streaks, turning it over on their opening possession and then fouling a three-point shooter. So 3-0 Panthers as we get this one underway. Williams with a crossover dribble out high, runs into traffic outside the left side of the lane, covered up there, so he's got to get it away. He is guarded by Taylor Lopez there as Meeker from the high side takes it down low, fouled by Lamont Mitchell, and that's good for the Silver Streaks to pick up an early one on him.
I don't know that I expect this one to be super physical tonight. There have been years, though, where this is some of the most physical basketball games I've ever seen at the high school level. We're played in here for a few years.
On the inbound to Devin Ross, and that gets the Streaks within one at 3-2, about a 15-foot jumper from the right baseline. So they make their first shot of the night, and anytime we can see the Streaks shoot well, we like to see that. The dribble on the outside by Walker. They leave him unguarded, so he shoots the 18-footer just inside the top of the arc. J.J. Range rebounds the miss. Here come the Streaks into the front court looking for their first lead of the night. Williams down the lane, cut off, spins it left side over to Ross, fakes a three, steps inside the arc, 17-footer off the mark, big rebound off of Eric Thompson's hands and saved by Walker. Into the front court, driving, Mieske off balance, hits the shot anyway. He has all five of the Panthers' points here in the opening quarter, 5-2 UT.
Coach Reynolds said he wanted the big guys to be a little more involved. Thompson did a nice job on the boards that last time. He got up in the air, but the ball hung on the rim just a little too long for him.
Quick pass down low. Ross on the low blocks, cut off there. Skips it out to Williams, drives baseline. Under the basket, gets the shot up. And he was trying to draw contact. He got it, and he'll go to the line shooting two.
And we'll see how United Township responds to having Joe Williams on the court for Galesburg. The last time we played, he was not available, so there's one more really good athlete they've got to deal with, and you know they're going to keep an eye on Joe, who nails the first free throw.
Joe only 2-for-6 from the free throw line in the IVC game last Saturday. He's been very good from the free throw line this season, but that dropped his percentage down under 74%, and he misses the second one. Zinke with the rebound, and Joe's shooting touch from the free throw line has not been there since returning from those 10 games that he missed. We've played 2 minutes here in the opening quarter, 5-3, Panthers with the lead and the ball. Lopez cut off at the free throw line. They swing it around left side under the elbow to Walker. Drives inside right. Cut off there. Backs it up to Zinke. Onto the right side of the arc to Mieske. Loses Ross on a screen. Drives into the lane. Dishes it off under the basket. A block and saved over to Meeker on the baseline after Lopez couldn't knock down the shot. Streaks trying to tie it up. Williams losing his man on the outside. Drives into traffic. Goes to the right side of the arc. Missed it. Puts it up on the offensive rebound. Thompson on the weak side with a putback, and he gets fouled. Streaks a couple of offensive rebounds are rewarded with a free throw here.
You figure if you stuck after it long enough, you were going to get a foul call. I thought maybe Williams would get one on the second attempt. No call, but Thompson does finally get the whistle.
And the second foul on Taylor Lopez. So that's big for the Silver Streaks in terms of trying to get something going against this UT defense. So just like that, he'll come out. And lanky 6'8 junior Bryant Jefferson is in to replace Lopez. So they gain 6 inches on the floor. But UT still loses a little bit of strength as Thompson makes the second of the two free throws. And that pulls Galesburg back within one at 5-4. We've played 2.5 minutes here in the opening quarter. On the outside, up top it goes to Zinke. Now right side over to Mieske. He's guarded by Ross. Trying to work around the screen. Mieske with a hesitation drive leaves it off for Walker. 17-foot jumper left side missed it. Tipped around. Meeker comes up with it. Leads the break. Fakes the pass to Range in the lane. And it's a travel from the farthest official away from the action, which is what Mike Reynolds. He's pointing to the floor saying, you're out here in front of me. You got two officials already in the front court, 15 feet away from that. And Mike's saying, you got no business making that call. But you know what? I think it was the right call. I think Ethan traveled in the lane. On the left side, pull-up jumper, Mitchell just outside the high post. No, and rebounded by Thompson. He plucked it away from Nate Zinke, who probably had better position, but the long reach by Thompson with his second rebound. Now Meeker aggressively to the basket, finger rolls it in with the left hand.
Well, I sure like these shot opportunities we're getting more than United Township. They're a little cold on their home court starting out. They're basically a perimeter team right now, and the Silver Streaks are attacking inside.
First lead for Galesburg at 6-5, 4.5 minutes to go, opening quarter. Driving in from the left side, and there's a travel, again called by the official. Same guy who called Meeker on it, and the same guy who was farthest away from it, but again, it was the right call. That's just their first turnover, Jim?
That's what I've got.
4:22 to go, opening quarter. Silver Streaks again with their first lead of the game. Driving
charge
into the front court.
Oh.
And a blocking foul called as Williams collides with Nate Zinke. close to the basket, and that'll be the first of the game on Zinke. And these guys aren't afraid to blow the whistles here in the opening.
No. Well, I really thought we were going to get a charge on that one. Mark Polite, I don't know if he said anything. He just stand there with his hands in his pocket, just staring at the official. Can't think that he was very happy with that one.
And the first free throw made. So Williams with a couple of points in the early going. Gelsberg with a two-point lead. And now a three-point lead. If Joe gets comfortable at the free throw line, he will knock them down with consistency. He's made three of his first four. Alec Austin, a 5'8 junior, into the game, and a hand check foul called on J.J. Range as Austin went from the right wing to the free throw line. And J.J. gets called for a hand check, his first. Second team foul on the streaks, not quite halfway through the opening quarter. Already 16 fouls called in this game. Down low on the baseline, Mieske into Zink, right back to Mieske, trying to work around the screen, drives into the lane, cups the ball with a left hand, missed the shot, Ross with a rebound, pushes it into the front court, three on two, dishes it off to Range, and a big block out of bounds by Mitchell.
Yep, Mitchell timed that well, came over, knocked it away right in front of the East Moline student body, they love that one. JJ, you know, he's had that happen a lot, he's undersized, but he's got to keep trying to get that shot up.
Early third quarter, Brimfield with an eight-point lead over Peoria Christian. They just started the second half. They're about 2.5 minutes there. Right side wing from the three-point range. Maker comes up short. Mitchell with the rebound. Here comes UT trying to get back into this game. Down three in the early going. 3:40 to go first quarter. Nearly stolen away. Now it is stolen away by Williams. To the other end with a right-hand layup. As Mitchell got knocked off balance, he was falling out of bounds. That allowed Joe to pick that cleanly for his first basket. And here's another Gelsberg steal, this time by Thompson. And now they say Eric was out of bounds as the ball got knocked out of his hands and out of bounds on the baseline. They say Eric stepped on the sideline, and UT is going to get it right back.
And again, Joe Williams making such a difference. If you don't pass that ball to the outside on the sideline, he's going to steal it, take it coast to coast, and he did right there. He did that against DeKalb a number of times, and we came back and won there a couple of weekends ago.
Streaks have scored eight straight. They lead 10-5, 3:20 to go in the opening quarter. Austin up top to Zinke. Passes left over to Jefferson. Now into the hands of Mieske. Drives to the right free throw line. Backs up, still with a dribble. Nearly stolen away. Now Joe does knock it loose. Into the hands of Meeker. UT gets back defensively. Meeker hangs on to it with the dribble. Now behind it to Devin Ross in the midcourt circle. 3 minutes to go, opening quarter. Ross drives down the right side. Cut off by two. Skips it out to Meeker. He'll penetrate the lane. Found an opening. Gets the finger roll.
Silver Streaks are just cutting up the East Moline defense right now. Panthers are going to have to do something about that.
And they call a 30-second timeout on a 10-0 Gelsberg run. 2:48 to go first quarter. Our thanks to Gelsberg Nissan for providing our transportation all season long. And to East Moline tonight, where we're enjoying a 2014 Nissan Rogue tonight, Jim.
Yeah, this is one of their rental vehicles that we got to bring up here this evening, and I would think there would be a waiting line to drive this one. Very comfortable. It's a redesign on the Rogue. It's just a little sleeker, maybe a little bigger than it was in previous years. And even with that, better gas mileage, 32 miles per gallon on the highway, 25 in town, and still with some power in that engine. So this is a beautiful vehicle. It's a black Rogue that we're driving. And they've got the zero-gravity seats in this as well. I was told they also have those in the back seat for your passenger's comfort also. So a lot of good things about this redesign on the Nissan Rogue, plus the 60-month 0% financing and $250 cash back on that. So stop by, test drive, and talk to the folks at Gelsberg Nissan about the brand-new Rogues, which are driving here to Streaks Basketball tonight.
And cause some havoc here for the Panthers. Forcing a UT timeout. We're 2:45 to go in the opening quarter. Kiwani has scored the first 7 points of the second half to cut the Rockridge lead to two. Early third quarter in that regional title game tonight. Austin on the outside, guarded closely by Meeker, dribbling left to right, left to right. Mike Reynolds saying, where's the 5 second call? But the pass gets away to Jefferson. Now Mieske dribbles it off his foot, chases it back before Ross can get to it, picks it up, hands off to Mitchell out at half court. UT does not look very smooth here tonight.
Well, I think Joe Williams' job on Mitchell and Ross working on Mieske, we've got our two best defenders on their two best scorers right now, and so far the Streaks defenders are getting it done.
And playing their first game officially without Jerry Miles for the rest of the season. And now a whistle away from the ball. They're going to call that an illegal screen on UT, and that goes as the fourth turnover, Jim. Or their fifth?
Fourth. I didn't charge him with this one down here, you know, with the Thompson thing. a couple of possessions ago. So it would be five if we counted that a turnover. Anyway, Zinke, I think, with a foul there.
Yep, that's his second. Taylor Lopez with two. So two of the five starters already in trouble. Long three by Williams up top. No. Rebound Mitchell.
I thought that was going in when he let it go.
12-5 Galesburg on a 10-0 run after falling behind early 5-2. A minute 40 to go first quarter. On the right side, this is Jefferson with it, dribbling it out to the volleyball spike line. Mitchell comes out into the midcourt circle for the pass, guarded by Williams. Hesitation drive, and coming over to help out after he got past Williams was Cody Hawthorne, who draws a foul.
Cody did just what he should do. Came over to help out, and, he got a foul, but he denied him the opportunity to make the basket, make Mitchell make a couple of free throws. Cody did exactly what he's supposed to do there.
Keeping an eye on a lot of the scores that are coming in tonight, especially with regional championship games going on in 1A and 2A. Another game that catches my interest, Jim, as Mitchell makes the first free throw and ends that 10-0 Galesburg run, is the turnaround in the Northern Illinois Big 12, what used to be the NCIC with Rochelle and Geneseo, or Dixon rather, Rochelle and Dixon. Dixon's lost one game this season.
Right.
They're playing Rockford Lutheran tonight. They lead by six at halftime. Rochelle's playing Geneseo tonight. Rochelle has won two games. What a turnaround from the way things used to be all that long ago. Left side three, in and out by Kevonte Shaw. Weak side rebound, Hawthorne, and he's fouled on the putback. Kevonte Shaw looked pretty good going in from the left side, but it rattled out. Hawthorne in good position for the weak side rebound, and that is the third foul now on Nate Zinke with a minute 16 to go in the first quarter. 16 fouls on the Panthers, and Hawthorne misses the first free throw. Well, Mark Polite had an opportunity to get Zinke out of the game earlier. He's got to do it now. Isaiah Sims, a 6-foot sophomore, and 5'8 Deontay Walker back into the game. So two sophomores on the floor as Alec Austin sits down. Hawthorne makes the second free throw, his first point of the night, 13-7 Galesburg. 6-point lead, 1:10 to go first quarter. Walker on the outside. This is Sims with it, his first action. On the right wing, Mieske. Bounce pass on the give and go, and the layup good by Sims, who went back door, and the Streaks bought it on the pick and roll.
Well executed. East Moline, just like they drew that one up. As you said, the Streaks bought on it defensively and an easy two.
Kevonte fakes the pass right, fires from the baseline, missed it. Rebound tapped out to Meeker, shoots from 15 feet out. Air ball saved by Hawthorne, and he saves it right to UT. So they get two cracks at it. Here's UT down four with the ball, 38 seconds to go, first quarter. Quick jumper by Mitchell for three, well short. Rebound. Batted around. UT had a hand on it. Shaw saved it underneath the basket right to Jefferson, who puts it up and gets fouled.
Well, that run that Galesburg had, it doesn't seem like it should be just a 4-point game.
No.
Maybe down to two here with some free throws coming as East Moline has climbed back into it here in the last minute and a half.
First free throw up and rattles out for Jefferson. 13-9 Galesburg, just under 30 seconds to go. The foul, meanwhile, on the Streaks was on Devin Ross. So he has two now. A lot of the starters in some foul trouble for both teams here. Not even out of the first quarter. Jefferson makes the second. It's 13-10, Streaks by three. See if they try to hold for the final shot. Ross does stay on the floor, most likely for this final offensive possession. And then may be on the bench at the beginning of quarter number two. See what Mike Reynolds decides to do. Little keep away back and forth between Ross and Meeker on the outside with 14 seconds to go. Ethan with it now, near the scoring table, bounces it left over to Ross with 8 seconds to go. Free throw line, Hawthorne over to Shaw, back out to Devin. Wide open three off the back of the rim. Rebound by UT. Mieske fires, and that's the end of the first quarter. 13-10 Streaks after one. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Running up and down the court is like driving up and down the road. Everything's going great until you try to stop on a wet floor, just like hitting the brakes on ice. The next thing you know, you're out of the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Let us help coach your winning season with auto coverage that meets all your needs. And with our auto home discount, we can save you money too. Give me a call or stop by Craddy Insurance today on North Henderson Street, and let's talk about your options with Rockford Mutual Insurance.
When it happens in the world of sports, we are there. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from United Township High School, where the Silver Streaks lead after one, 13-10. Wouldn't say it's been a real smooth, not a real smooth game, Jim, but it's been up and down. The action's been interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, we really didn't expect a whole lot of smooth. I thought the Silver Streaks have, you know, again, the way we're attacking in the paint, I still like our chances. We're not just settling for three-point shots. And if we keep that up, we get UT in a little bit of foul problems. Still like the way that first quarter went.
Peoria Manual and Peoria High School not playing tonight. They wrapped up their Big 12 season on Tuesday night with a turnover on the opening possession by Taylor Lopez. Back on the floor for UT, despite playing with two fouls. Coaches, scouts, that is, from Manual and Peoria, both here tonight in preparation for meeting the Streaks potentially in a championship game for the 3A regional a week from tonight. Ross, Meeker, Thompson, Williams. Here's Devin driving with a jump step. Floater won't go. Rebound Mitchell on the weak side. Streaks again not knocking down some shots, but they're getting some decent looks. Again, an attack to the basket. Here's a deflected pass. Nearly saved and out of bounds as Williams maybe got shoved out of bounds a little bit as the teams went for the ball. Yeah, he'll hang on to it.
Got poked in the eye maybe over
there. Looked like it.
Yeah, he poked it away, but there really wasn't enough for him to finish the turnover. There was a sideline was on his right side, and a player was in front of him, and there just wasn't any room for him to actually grab the ball and get going with it.
13-10 Galesburg. We've led a minute here in quarter number two. For the Panthers, it's Walker and Mitchell on the outside. Here's Mieske with it. Gets open briefly for a three. Oh, that one looked good, but it was a little bit long. Ross with a rebound, and it gets called for traveling. Oh, they actually call a jump ball. Was that Isaiah Sims who reached back as Devin went into the air to make the pass? And the officials say, I guess Sims reached back, got a hand on, and they called a tie-up. And the Silver Streaks keep it on the alternating possession. Right side three by Williams rattles in and out. Rebound yanked away. Mitchell takes it away from Eric Thompson. Back comes UT trying to tie the game or get within one. This would tie it for Sims from the wing. No. Weak side rebound Mitchell. Briefly lost it. Turnaround hook shot from 15 feet out. That's a no. Mitchell rebounds his own miss. Hits from 18 feet. It just kept going farther back. He's got five rebounds in the game, and he pulls UT to within one at 13-12. Ross on the outside. Over to Meeker. Thompson flashing through the lane. Streaks keeping on the perimeter. Ross does stay on the floor despite the two fouls. He's got it now to the free throw line. Ooh, tough pass nearly stolen away by Mitchell, but it deflects over to Meeker. 2 minutes gone here, quarter number two. Streaks with the ball in a one-point lead. Meeker for three. On the outside, no. Long rebound, batted around, chased down at half court. Mieske got a hand on it, knocked it off Thompson on a heck of a play by Mieske running into his own front court and just batted behind him with Thompson giving chase, and UT gets it.
Silver Streaks have missed their last seven from the field.
Oh, boy.
Ethan Meeker's last couple of weeks, he's really struggled with his shot. His three-point percentage has to be way down. He just can't seem to quite find the range and the touch on those threes.
Brimfield has opened up a 10-point lead over Peoria Christian, 46-36 after three quarters in that
they were certainly
regional title.
Good last night at beating a good Elmwood team by nearly 20 points.
Walker on the dribble, Deontay Walker for United Township. Panthers trail by one with the ball. We got a foul away from the ball. I think that one's on Devin. That's his third. He was trying to defend Isaiah Sims. So Ross picks up his third foul, 5:23 to go in the first half. Already on the bench for the Panthers is Nate Zinke, who picked up three fouls with less than a minute to go in the first quarter, and Mike Reynolds calls a 30-second timeout.
I think here is much just trying to decide what to do because Ross has three fouls, but there wasn't anybody going up to the table to take his place. Now it looks like Shaw's going to check in, and I would guess that Devin will sit down for the rest of the half here. You know, the facility here, we talked last week, we were at Rock Island and talked about how dark and dreary it was in there because they got the old-style lighting. I remember coming up here where the lighting sometimes wasn't always the best either, but they've gone to the new lights, and it's very crystal clear. Even we're up top on the bleachers here at the press box, and you can see everything very, very well. This is one of the places they actually still turn the lights out over the stands. There was a number of years where everybody in the Western Big Six did that. When the game started, it was just the lights on the court. A few have gone away from that. But either way, it's still much improved lighting here. Now if we just get Rock Island to brighten up a little bit over there, see the basket to shoot at it, right?
Rock Island leads Moline 14-8 after one at Wharton Fieldhouse. Quincy at Don Morris Gym, a 19-10 lead over Alleman at the end of the first 8 minutes there. Lob on the inbound out high to Sims, gives it right back to Walker on the right wing. Hesitation dribble up top, guarded by Range. 5:15 to go first half. Silver Streaks with a one-point lead. They've been in a real lull. They had a 13-7 lead. With a couple minutes left in the first quarter, we played 3 minutes here in quarter number two. Streaks still stuck on 13. Fortunate to have that one-point lead. Lopez back on the floor for UT with those two fouls. Not a lot of offensive move. Boy, I thought Mitchell traveled with it.
Yeah,
and now they do call it.
I think he traveled twice.
Yeah.
His first move was a travel. He got away with that, and then he fell all over himself and hit the floor, and that was the second travel.
So the Silver Streaks dodge another bullet, still with a one-point lead, 13-12. Meeker, high pass from Williams, saves it before going out of bounds. Gives it right back to Joe, right side three. That one's off the mark. Rebound, Thompson had a hand on it, does get it. Runs into a double team, stolen away by Mitchell. Here comes UT, a outlet pass to Mieske with a left-hand layup. And they burn the Streaks in transition. Panthers back on top, 14-13.
As well as we played there for a few minutes in the first quarter, we are just not getting it done. It's just, again, shots aren't falling. We're getting open looks, but we're just not making
them. Meeker with another three. Finally, there's one from the outside. Streaks open the game 0-for-7 from behind the arc. There's the first three-pointer of the night. Gillsburg by two, 16-14, just about halfway through the first half. On the right side, Walker, guarded by Range. Good quickness-on-quickness battle there. Walker, a sophomore, Range, a senior. J.J. slaps his hands in an aggressive clap as he forced Walker to give up the pass. It goes to the left side, and there's an opposing three by Sims, who answers the Ethan three, and that puts UT back on top, 17-16.
Well, Sims not a guy that you normally worry that much about. He just only scored 16 points on the season coming into this one.
He's got five tonight. Meeker with a hesitation drive with a left-hand finger roll off the backboard. Five in the quarter, nine for the game. Streaks back on top, 18-17. Driving in, a spin move going to the basket. And they're going to call a hack on the arm as Lopez went in from the right side. And he's got a chance to put the Panthers back on top from the free throw line. First foul of the game on Eric Thompson. Both UT and Gillsburg each with 16 fouls now. The Panthers, after getting whistled for 16 fouls in the first quarter, have not picked up a team foul here in the second quarter.
Yes, yeah, Sims only had one field goal in conference play coming into tonight. Has 5 points already here.
3:27 to go first half. Second one, good as well. And the Panthers are back on top on two Taylor Lopez free throws. 19-18 UT. Williams on the dribble out high. Skips it up top left over to Meeker. Meeker picks up his dribble into the left corner. It goes to JJ. Now back out to Ethan. Steps inside the arc. Jump stop. Ball knocked out of his hands. Stolen away. Picked off by Lopez. Panthers trying to build on a one-point lead. Walker has it now. Backs his way up toward half court. He's about 10 feet inside of the front court. Around a Mitchell screen. Drives to the free throw line and misses a free throw area shot badly. Williams with the rebound for the Streaks. Joe hands off to Ethan. Thought about the three, tries to reverse it back, turns it over again. Six Gillsburg turnovers. Lopez at the other end. Williams gets back and fouls him going up for the layup.
Well, I got to think the folks for Peoria Central and Peoria Emanuel that are watching this are having fun writing the report, because our ball security isn't very good right now.
Nope.
We're getting it ripped out of our hands. We're turning it over. And while East Moline has some quickness, they're not what Central Emanuel are going to bring. So I'm sure that's going to be the top of the page. Just get after the ball.
2018 as Lopez has made three straight from the free throw line here in this second quarter. And now that one misses, and then the rebound was all cleared out on the right side, so all Lopez had to do was step over there and get it. Now a three-pointer by Mitchell won't go, and Meeker comes up with a rebound. Trapped on the baseline, gets it out to Williams. Drives, gets it off to Hawthorne, driving in from the left side, blocked, but a foul called on the Panthers, and Cody will shoot two.
Yeah, heck of a job by Sims to come over there and block that.
It was.
I thought he got it clean from up here. I'm glad we got the whistle on that, but that was a very athletic play by the young man from the United Township.
First foul of the game on Isaiah Sims. Second foul, or rather seventh team foul on UT as Hawthorne misses the first free throw. Rock Island a five-point lead at Moline. 5 minutes to go first half. It's 19-14 there. Rockridge with a five-point lead over Kewaunee. Under five to go in the regional championship game there. Hawthorne makes the second free throw. Galesburg down one, 20-19, 2:20 to go here in the first half.
A couple of great players in that Rockridge Kewaunee game. Donovan Oliver of Kewaunee, a really, really exceptional player at this point in his high school career.
Left side Walker in front of the Galesburg bench. Fakes right, drives left. It was open, but he couldn't finish off the layup. And the rebound underneath, strong by Kevante Shaw. Trapped, gets the pass away to Meeker. Drives into the front court, dribbles the ball off his foot. All he can do is dive onto the floor for it. Now Hawthorne gets to it. That leaves Joe to drive down the lane and gets the layup.
Well, if you want one guy to end up with the ball when it gets Skelter like that, it's Joe.
Opposite end, UT cut off. They swing it around to the outside. Walker, who will back up. 1:35 to go first half. Streaks with a 21-20 lead. On the outside, this is Mieske. Around a screen. Down the left side of the lane. Looking like he held onto that ball for a long time. He finishes off the layup. Mike Reynolds is over there saying, where's the travel call? He's kind of put that ball on his hip like an NBA drive down the lane, and he's got a chance at a three-point play on the first foul on Kevante Shaw.
Yeah, if it was traveling on Ethan earlier in the game going through the lane, that's had to be one on Mieske right there. But no call as he finishes off the three-point play with the free throw.
Got five in each quarter, 10 for the game. Panthers by two, 23-21. Minute and a half to go, first half. Williams across midcourt. Right side under the wing, Shaw. Drives, gives it right back to Joe behind him for three. Short, long rebound, out. Ball off the floor, and they're going to call Kevante for the reach, hooking up Mieske, who had better position for the rebound. That'll be two quick fouls now on Kevante Shaw, and we'll walk it to the other end with UT in the bonus. Nine team fouls on the streaks, a minute 15 to go. This has really turned around. Lots of fouls called early on UT. They've had only one called on them here in the second quarter. Streaks have picked up nine team fouls now. Devin Ross has played almost, has been on the bench almost the entire second quarter, and the offense has suffered because of it. Eric Thompson back in as Shaw will sit down, so he does not pick up his third foul.
Yeah, it's funny, from one game to the next, when we played at Thiel Gym, if you'd have told me that you take miles away from them and add Joe Williams to us, I'd said we'd blow them out. But here we are with that scenario, and they're beating us again, at least at this point, by 4 points.
Mieske makes both free throws. He's 6 for 6 from the line in this game. Just a junior. He's got 7 points in the quarter, 12 for the night. Williams to the right side. Skips it back out to Meeker. Thought about a long three. He'll pass it back over to Williams. Guarded there by Alec Austin. He's got a size advantage there. He passes it away to Meeker. UT extending the zone out. Hawthorne with a shovel pass. Good no-look bounce pass from Thompson to JJ, cutting in from the left baseline. First basket of the game for Range. Cuts the deficit to two. 25-23, 45 seconds to go for the half. Midcourt circle with a dribble. Walker working against Range. JJ reaches in. Walker with a dribble. Now passes it left side over to Austin. Down to 33 seconds to go. We got a whistle away from the ball. We got a foul called on Williams. No, Cody Hawthorne. His set. Two on Hawthorne, two on Shaw on the bench, three on Ross on the bench. Zinke on the bench with UT for three. Taylor Lopez has played the entire second quarter without picking up his third foul, and he knocks down the first free throw.
It's interesting when you look at guys and their quickness, too. I was watching JJ play defense that time. JJ's got really quick feet, but he doesn't have particularly quick hands as the second free throw goes in. And now you take like Joe Williams, he's got just a really quick reach, and it makes him deadly on defense. JJ has to play defense mostly with his feet, and he does a great job of it, but he doesn't have quite the quick hands.
Streaks a hole for the final shot, down four, 27-23, 21 seconds to go in the first half. Williams and Meeker on the outside. Hawthorne flashing through the lane. Thompson and Range are down low. JJ lurking in the left corner. Thompson closer to the baseline on the low blocks. 8 seconds to go. Williams steals a glance at the clock. Now starts his dribble in front of the UT bench. Drives to the free throw line. Has the ball knocked loose. Right back to him. Misses the jumper. And that's the end of the first half. Streaks didn't look very smooth out here tonight. They trail by four at the break, 27-23. We'll take a look at the first half statistics when we come back. Give you an update on area scores, especially with regional championship games going on in 1A and 2A tonight. and the final regular season games of the Western Big Six. We'll get an update for you on those as well. It's 27-23 United Township at the half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Galesburg.info, Galesburg's homepage. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Basketball on WGIL.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
It's a hangout. It's a stop-in. It's a drive-through happy place. It's selfies on the phone. Let's grab a vanilla cone. It's like getting a face full of French fry ticker tape because you're Grand Marshal of the Potato Parade on a float that resembles the Golden Arches. It's defense from the daily grind. It's a Big Mac on your mind. It's McDonald's. And it's all these things with a little more loving for all.
Spice things up with a jalapeno double or the new jalapeno McChicken with melty white cheddar and two kinds of jalapenos right now at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only.
Silver Streaks Boys Basketball continues with the Halftime Report on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime here in the Panther Den. Silver Streaks trailing United Township by 4, 27-23. Our halftime scoreboard, let's get you an update on scores from around the area, brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. Farmington has rallied back. They were down to Monmouth-Roseville by 16 at the end of the third quarter. They have now rallied back to within 9, but only a minute 44 left in the game. It's 60-51. Monmouth-Roseville leading that one. Rockridge up on Kewaunee by 4 with a minute and a half left. It's 47-43 in favor of the Rockets. Brimfield with a 2-point lead over Peoria Christian, 53-51, a minute and a half left in that game. Halftime, it's Rock Island leading Moline, but just by 4, 29-25. At Don Morris Gym, Quincy leads Alleman by 19, 39-20. Ridgewood has rallied back. There's under 4.5 minutes to play in that regional title game. Williamsfield and Ridgewood tied at 57. So all the regional games have been very tight, and I haven't seen an update on the South Fulton-A-Town game since halftime. And the Tornadoes were trailing there by 10 the last we saw. So I'll keep my eyes out for an update there. But here at United Township, it hasn't been a real good first half for the Silver Streaks. It wasn't a very good start for UT. They outscored the Streaks 17-10 in that second quarter. If you go back to where Galesburg had the 13-7 lead, they've been outscored 20-10 and trailed by 4 at the break, Jim.
Shooting not really good for either club, both in the low 30% range, and that's been the case for the Streaks the last three or four times out. What we shot? Well, we shot 35% in our last outing against IBC, but that was only because we hit 4 out of 5 in the fourth quarter. Up until then, we were closer to 25%. We were 32% against Rock Island. Last good shooting game we've had was against Quincy, and that was our last home game, when we hit 45%. Tonight, 8 of 24, 33% for Galesburg. United Township, 6 of 19, 31%. Rebounds, haven't had a chance to compare these. Right now I'm showing 14 for United Township, 13 for the Silver Streaks.
Yep.
And the turnovers, 7 for the Panthers and 6 for Galesburg.
That's what I have as well. The rest of our halftime statistics brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. Streaks are only 1 of 8 from three-point range. They missed their first 7. Meeker finally got one off. That was their first three-pointer of the night. They haven't gotten off a three-point shot since then. And 1 of 8. UT 1 of 4 from behind the arc. The free throws, I think, is where Mike Reynolds and staff might be really troubled. UT has shot 17 free throws in the first half. Because of It's not even that the Streaks fouled that many more times than UT. It's the fouling situation that got UT to the line. They've made 16 of their 17 free throws in the first half. Silver Streaks, 6 of 10 from the free throw line. It's 27-23 Panthers at the break. We'll take a timeout, take a look at the individual scoring. We'll fly through the scores again, get some more updates as those regional championship games are coming down to the wire. And we'll give you the individual scores as well from UT, where the Panthers lead the Streaks by 4 in the regular season finale. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, it's Bob O'Connor for Galesburg Radio 14. Learn what to expect in a music audition. The Central Illinois Youth Symphony will hold its What to Expect When You Audition workshop on March 8th in Peoria. It's free and possibly a great benefit to both student musicians and their parents. For details, head to WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, clear skies with a low of 5 below tonight. Lowest wind chill readings 5 below to 15 below 0 after midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 22. Wind chill readings between 5 below and 15 below 0 tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, snow with 1 to 2 inches of accumulation possible, a low of 17. And Sunday, snow with light accumulation possible, high around 30. Sunday night, cloudy skies, a low of 12. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 3 above. At Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime here at the Panther Den. Silver Streaks trailing United Township 27-23. Look at the few more scores. Renfield now leading Peoria Christian by 6 with 29 seconds to play in the regional title game there. It's 59-53. Ridgewood now with a 3-point lead over Williamsfield. Still about 3 minutes to go in that one. At last word, it's 60-57. And Rockridge with a 47-43 lead over Kewaunee. A minute and a half to go in that game. Monmouth-Roseville, it's now a final. They are regional champions as the Titans defeat Farmington 68-56. Here tonight, Galesburg sophomores lost 58-39. It is senior night. They've stopped the clock for the time being for what appears to be a presentation. Out on half court for the United Township Panthers. And, Jim, I think tonight the Silver Streaks would welcome a little more time in the locker room the way things have gone here so far.
Yeah, well, the coaches probably would. I'm not sure about the players.
Well, that's true. Good point.
You know, I don't know that it's anything particularly horrible we've done wrong, but we just, you know, it was, and Mike Reynolds, you could tell last weekend, he just was concerned that the team just didn't quite have that confidence and an approach to the game that we'd had earlier in the season, and I think you're still seeing that out here tonight as the team does now come back out on the court.
So Jim will head down. We'll try to get a word from the coaching staff as they'll be the last ones out of the locker room for sure as they're trying to formulate a game plan to energize this team and get them back into this game. Again, down just 4, but it's the nature of the way the game's being played that is a concern that 4-point deficit feels like more than it is. Individual scoring, Jacob Mieske leads all scorers for UT with 12. Taylor Lopez and Isaiah Sims each have 5. Lamont Mitchell with 4. Bryant Jefferson has 1. For the Silver Streaks, Ethan Meeker leads away with 9. Joe Williams has 7. Devin Ross and J.J. Range each with 2. Cody Hawthorne off the bench with 2. Eric Thompson has 1. Kevontae Shaw has not scored for the Silver Streaks. As we head down to courtside, Jim Lee is with Steve Cheeseman for a halftime coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance. Take it away, Jim Lee.
All right, thanks, Brad. Down here on the court with Steve Cheeseman. Before we talk basketball, you wanted to make a mention of a couple of key fans.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Theory and Rob Strack are under the weather, and we care so much about them and think so much of them, we just want them to get better. Thanks, yeah, Jim.
Absolutely. Great guys. Great supporters of Galesburg High School Athletics.
Yeah, without a question.
This game tonight, through a good part of the first quarter, I felt like maybe we were back on track, but second quarter didn't go so well.
Yeah, we got tentative again, Jim. And I mean, our mindset, our personality is to be aggressive down here. We're very tentative against their zone. We didn't move the ball very well. We didn't create a lot of rhythm. It seems like we're back on our heels. And some way or the other, we've got to shake that loose. When we do, you know, then I think things will return the way we want them. But right now, we're way too tentative for our own good.
Of course, the last 5 minutes of the second quarter, we didn't have Devin. How big was that?
Yeah, and that is big there. And you know, we have to make an adjustment in terms of how they're calling fouls. But we feel like we've got enough bench for, you know, bring guys off the bench that can get the job done. We just didn't have a very good first half.
In the first quarter, it seemed like our first thought was to attack the lane, go into the paint, make things happen. Then it seemed like we started settling for threes a little more.
Yeah, and that's that tentative aspect I'm talking about. And if you don't make those threes, you usually don't have any rebound coverage. You're standing flat-footed, and it doesn't go very well. So we got to try to speed the game up a little bit, get the ball moving, and get second-chance points off of any misses down here and tighten up our guarding down here on this end.
As always, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Jim.
And I want to correct a mistake on my part. I said UT was 16 of 17 from the free throw line. They're 13 of 14. As I realized early on, I had inadvertently marked down Jacob Mieske's first three free throws of the game in the wrong player, and then I never did scratch him out for Deontay Walker. So they have made three fewer free throws than I had originally indicated earlier, but they still have missed only one, 13 of 14 from the free throw line. Finally got an update on that Williamsfield game against Ridgewood in the regional title game there. The Bombers, down 60-57, have now scored six in a row, and they have regained the three-point lead over Ridgewood, and Coach Bob Anderson's team now leading by three with 48 seconds to go and a timeout there. So the regional championship games, lots of excitement as you would expect at this point of the season. Monmouth-Roseville already a winner over Farmington. Brimfield knocks off Peoria Christian by 10, and still waiting a final on the Rock Ridge-Kewaunee game.
Well, I'd like to echo what Steve said. So many times you get caught up in what's happening on the basketball court.
Yep.
Our best certainly out to good friend Rob Strack, and a longtime Mr. Everything for the Silver Streaks, a supporter of this team for so many years, and also for the Silver Streaks,
Pete Theory. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so winded from coming up the bleachers here. So I may have to join Pete and Rob on the sidelines if I don't get in better shape.
Pete is Mr. Everything in terms of his fan base. And he and Ray Pickrell are as supportive as anybody for these kids and all the kids in the Silver Streaks program. And they all know Pete and Ray, and we certainly wish both Pete and Rob Strack the best as they continue to fight some tough illnesses. All right, we're underway in the second half. Silver Streaks trail by four. UT has the ball, leading 27-23. On the right side, this is Lamont Mitchell. Streaks did a pretty good job defensively on him, holding him to four as he tries to fight through a defense, and a blocking foul, a little hip check called on Eric Thompson will be his second.
Yeah, Eric got turned around that time and just tried to follow him with his backside to the basket and bumped him down. That was a pretty easy call for the official.
Second foul of the game on Eric, first of the second half, and unfortunately the fouls kind of pick up right where they left off, certainly from the Silver Streak standpoint. On the outside, this is Nate Zinke back into the game for UT. He picked up his third foul late in the first quarter. Underneath, Walker slides to the basket, reaches out with a long left hand, can't get the shot up and in. Rebound by Thompson at the other end, an offensive foul called, and that's four on Devin Ross.
Not even a minute into the third quarter. And, of course, that's what the coaches said, be more aggressive. And so Devin trying to do that. Great job by UT to get the position there. No question it was a charge. And he goes back to the bench quickly with four fouls.
Williamsfield fouls Ridgewood, shooting a three-pointer. They've got one so far and a timeout called. 37 seconds left. Bombers leading by two. And an illegal screen set by Nate Zink for UT, and now that's four on him. And they turn it right back over.
So both of these guys who sat a good portion of the first half with three fouls just quickly pick up number four.
Golly. So the Streaks with the ball, down four. We've just started the second half. Three-pointer by Shaw is short. Somehow Thompson rises above everybody for the rebound, dumps it down to range along the baseline. They'll pull it back out. Got to get Kevontae Shaw going offensively. On the left side, Joe jumps between two defenders and then takes a little hop again for the travel. This team just is totally out of rhythm.
Really are. Really are. You got to give UT some credit, but this is not some of the Silver Streaks team we saw beat Quincy even a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
That was an impressive night against a Quincy team that had been playing very good basketball.
Around a screen, this is Mieske, the leading scorer in the game. Step back from 17-footer, swished it.
makes his first basket. He has missed only two tonight. And UT with its biggest lead now at 29-23. Right side pass to Shaw. Fakes, drives baseline, cut off by the double team, tries to feed it through the lane. Ill-advised pass, deflected away from Thompson. Already three turnovers on the Silver Streaks here in the second half. On the right side, Mitchell with it. Trying to put the ball on the floor, now travels with it. He tried to put too much of a move on Kevontae Shaw, and all he ended up doing was moving with the ball.
Still got a long way to go in this one, but it makes you wonder. If we don't play better than this, I'm not sure we get by Limestone in that first game of the regional. We're all talking about whether we're playing Central or Manual next Friday night. We won't get there if we don't shoot the ball and play better than we are the last couple of weekends.
Long three from the outside. Another miss by the Streaks from long range. Rebound fought for on the floor. A scramble for it, and Meeker comes out with it. Ends up as his fifth rebound. Another three by Williams. That won't go. Long rebound chased down by Joe in the corner. To the baseline. Drives. Caught under the basket. Hits the bottom of the rim. Right back to Joe. And he puts it in.
Four cracks at it that time. And finally, it's almost like UT just said, all right, have the dumb basket. After the fourth time, he finally didn't have any competition under there.
29-25. Streaks down four. And a bad pass stolen away by JJ. And then he runs into Mieske, who picks up his first foul. We got three turnovers on each team here already in the third quarter, Jim.
Yep.
We haven't even played 3 minutes of the third quarter.
Well, let's see if we can't slice into that lead a little more here.
Rock Ridge defeats Kewaunee 53-47 to win the regional title there. Hawk Island has opened up a little bit more of a lead, 38-31 over Moline at Wharton Fieldhouse. JJ with a dribble on the left wing, loses it briefly, gets it back out to Williams. Oh, now it's an 11-point lead for Rock Island, 42-31. On the left corner, JJ wide open, comes up short from three-point range. Thompson had a hand on the rebound, couldn't control it out of bounds. Back to UT. Panthers lead by four, 29-25, 4:36 to go, third quarter.
Yeah, so all those regional championship games, 1A and 2A, worthy of the fans' attendance. Everybody getting to see some good basketball at those games tonight.
Trying to keep an eye on that Williams Field game, which has come down to the wire against Ridgewood. Now Ridgewood has scored six straight. They hit three free throws and a three-pointer to take a 67-64 lead over the Bombers as a drive by UT can't be finished off, and Taylor Lopez fouled on the offensive rebound. So Ridgewood now leads it 67-64, 9 seconds to go there, and a timeout called by Williamsfield.
Ridgewood trying to get their first regional title since the late 80s as either Alwood or Cambridge. It's been a long drought for them, and I know that was one of their team goals coming into this season. Win the conference, win the regional. Well, they won the conference by a point over Princeville, by 3 points in the tournament, and then trying to win the regional tournament tonight.
So two free throws by Taylor Lopez has been very good from the free throw line tonight. 31-25, Panthers by six. Lopez 7 of 8 from the line. Driving in left side. JJ gets pushed under the basket. And now JJ fouls on the rebound. Mike Reynolds is furious on the sideline that JJ drove underneath, went with a head and shoulder fake, got two UT defenders in the air, and then as JJ started to go up for the shot, Mike saw a push from the backside that got JJ under the basket. Now we're going to have a technical foul called, or does he call timeout?
I think he calls timeout. He made the same move to call a timeout as you'll see a official give a technical. I thought maybe he was going to get one there. You could hear that foot stomp on the floor clear up here when they didn't get the call on that. But I think it, you know, I kind of agree with him on that play, but a lot of it is just build up frustration
by the
Streaks team that just is, you know, defensively playing hard, but offensively it just, we're just kind of lost out there right now. And again, at the end of last season, we ran into that thing against Dunlap where we couldn't make shots from the perimeter. Our inside game abandoned us, and we just haven't had any inside game at all for weeks getting any points in the paint right now.
Nope. 4:04 to go here in the third quarter. It's 31-25, and I'm looking over this information I'm following on Twitter, and I think I misspoke. I think Williamsfield has a three-point lead. Ridgewood hit the three and called timeout and had to get the ball back. So apparently Williamsfield had a three-point lead with 9 seconds to go. And it looks like Williamsfield does win it. So Williamsfield wins the Wethersfield Regional 68-66 over Rock Ridge, or Ridgewood, rather.
Now, Bob Anderson in the final year as the Billtown Bombers.
How about
that? Before they join up with Rova, win the regional. And there, you talk about a team that's playing their best basketball at the end of the season.
I guess. Two big wins over Princeville.
Yeah.
All right, Streaks put on the full court press coming out of the timeout. They got to do something to energize this team, trailing by six halfway through the third quarter. Nearly a turnover. UT hangs on to it. Walker weaves between a couple of defenders, now gets it back from Mitchell on the outside. 31-25 Panthers. Four-point halftime lead. They've added two more to it. Lopez on the outside, guarded by Cody Hawthorne. Walker on the right side. He's guarded there by J.J. Range. Walker dribbles left. Now Mitchell comes out high for it at the volleyball spike line. Going to shoot a long three. There just wasn't much happening for UT offensively. He just fired it up, and Joe got the rebound.
I don't think Mark Polite can be very happy with that.
Let's see if the Streaks can find an opening now.
That was a shooting turnover right there.
Williams into the left corner range. Gets it back out to Meeker. Ethan led the Streaks in scoring with nine in the first half. He hasn't taken a shot here in the second half. Inside to Hawthorne. Backs up, and the ball poked away from the top. Reached the ball up. Isaiah Sims had the hands up there. He just knocked it right out of his hands. Turnover to the Panthers. Mieske on the left side. Guarded by Meeker, so he dribbles it back out. Gets it to Walker. Under 3 minutes to go, third quarter. 31-25 UT. Mieske trying to lose Meeker on the outside. Ethan stays with him. Passes away to Sims. Drives into the lane. Cody gets away with a little lean-in bump. Now a shot too strong off the backboard by Lopez. Rebound by Williams. Joe into the front court. Streaks needs something. Shoots just outside the free throw line. Missed it. Rebound batted onto the floor to Mieske. Here comes UT back trying to build on the lead, and they got it with a layup by Lamont Mitchell. And again, that's at least two times now the Streaks have been burned in transition, and it's an 8-point lead for UT, their biggest of the game.
And again, we're giving up baskets because we can't make them on the offensive end, and then they get out and go with numbers.
Here's Williams' left corner three is well short. And another rebound by UT. Here they go again. Mitchell on the outlet. Driving in. Walker gets fouled by Shaw.
Well, we could still come back and win this, but right now it doesn't look very promising. And I never dreamed we would see us down 8 points in this one with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And it's not even that UT's playing all that well. They're okay. But, boy, we are just bad on the offensive end right now.
And defensively, not getting it done very well either as Walker makes the first free throw. Third foul of the game on Kevonte Shaw. Mark Mangieri in for the Streaks. And so is Darius Salmon. So the Streaks have to get something going. Shaw goes to the bench with three fouls. J.J. sits down. Devin Ross on the bench with four fouls. Walker rattles the first free throw through. Or the second free throw, rather. And it's now a 10-point United Township lead. They continue to build on their biggest lead of the game, and there's another Galesburg turnover. Driving other end, Walker tries to sidestep back Joe Williams, and just that big stride to the left is enough to avoid the offensive foul, and Joe, just his first foul of the night.
Three or four straight times now, we've been down the court and either had a quick shot or a turnover, and UT has gotten a breakout. And capitalizing with a 10-point lead.
Yep.
And can build on it now with Lamont Mitchell going to the free throw line after they get a little sweat wiped off of the floor right underneath the basket.
Well, it's actually three on Joe Williams, not one, as I had said a moment ago. So apparently I've given somebody else a foul that belonged to Joe earlier, at least one. 10-point UT lead. Mitchell makes it 11 with the first free throw. He's got three in the quarter, seven for the game. Panthers have scored seven straight. What was a 29-25 lead is now 11. Second one on the way. Good as well. They're 6 of 6 from the free throw line in this quarter. And 19 of 20 for the game. They lead by 12. 37-25 on senior night here at the Panther Den. Streaks early on had it going. They were up seven, and here's another block. Rebound by Williams and the putback. Even that won't go down, but he can just get fouled. We'll call that one on Deontay Walker, his first. Joe Williams with seven rebounds. I have the Streaks, Jim, 1 for 10 in this quarter. And Joe can't even make the free throw.
Yep, 1 of 10 with 5 turnovers.
UT started off 3 turnovers on their first 4 possessions of the half. They have not had one since. Williams makes a second free throw. 37-26. Streaks got to get it going. We got 90 seconds to go in the third quarter. In the backcourt, Austin. guarded by Mangieri. Now Darius Sammons will guard Deontay Walker at the point. Walker right side over to Sims. Now it goes to Alec Austin driving in. Got around Mangieri. Went to the baseline. Lays it up. 39-26. 13-point lead. Mike Reynolds going to put Range and Ross back in and risk Ross picking up his fifth foul. But with a minute 17 to go, Streaks certainly aren't getting anything else going offensively with their point guard out of the game.
No. And I mean, it's you got to get him back in now. I mean, there's no sense waiting because the longer you wait, the farther behind we may end up being when he did show up. Get him in there while there's still a chance. But down 13, it doesn't look good at all for the Silver Streaks at this point.
And with Quincy leading Alleman by 24 at the end of the third quarter, the Streaks are in danger of falling out of second place if they can't get a rally going in the final 9 minutes of this game. Who would have thought when we saw Quincy back in December that we'd be talking about them being in second place?
Yeah.
Here's a three by Ross, and boy, did Galesburg need that one. They're down 10 now, 39-29, 45 seconds to go in the third quarter. And a timeout called by Walker as he gets it into the front court. Saw the trap coming from Sammons and Range. And that is just UT's second timeout. So we'll thank again Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation tonight, Jim.
Yeah, I got the honors of driving
you
again.
Sure did.
The black Nissan Rogue. It's a 2014. Again, it's part of their rental fleet. And it's just got all sorts of reasons to stop by and take a test drive of this. Number one, I guess, is comfort. The thing just is really, really a smooth ride. They've upgraded the Rogues and put even better seats in there, the zero-gravity seats, like maybe you got on your porch or something. You enjoy that support in the middle part of your body. Well, it's got very comfortable seating up front and in back. Gets great gas mileage, and with gas prices edging up a little bit again, all of a sudden that's become pretty important. 32 miles to the gallon on these Nissan Rogues. And plus a great financing, 0% for 60 months, plus $250 cash back, so some great incentives there as well. And these are really sharp. I like the redesign, the look of the Rogue better now than I did a few years ago as well. So stop by, take a look at it, take a test drive, make your best deal at Galesburg Nissan next to the Sandberg Mall in Galesburg.
8-point lead for Rock Island, 6.5 minutes to go on senior night at Wharton Fieldhouse, 45-37 leading Moline. Here, 35 seconds to go, third quarter, Streaks down 10. UT with the ball. Where's the travel on Walker as he gets bumped, takes an extra step. No foul, no travel called either way. Jefferson with the drive to the left side. Ball knocked out of the hands of Lopez, but picked up by Austin. Streaks are causing some defensive havoc here. Haven't gotten the turnover, though. 6 team fouls on the Streaks. Don't want to pick up number 7. Down to 13 seconds to go. Walker now guarded by Joe Williams. Drives around Joe, pulls up from 16 feet, a block by Cody Hawthorne. 6 seconds to go. Cody to Williams, across midcourt, with 1 second, gets off the shot. Good! And the Streaks within 7 now. Maybe that'll get this team to life. Turnover, three-pointer, 39-32 UT after 3. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from Galesburg Nissan. Stop by and check out the all-new 2015 Nissan Altima, one of the most innovative, exciting, and fuel-efficient cars available today. Over 180 vehicles to choose from at Galesburg Nissan, right in front of Sandberg Mall.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, it's Bob O'Connor with this reminder for tomorrow night. The acoustic group Hammer and Pick return to the Sandberg Historic Site for another song bag concert tomorrow night. Hammer and Pick's going to play 2 sets at 7 o'clock and at 8:20. For more information, click our calendar at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in Galesburg. Whether you read your morning emails at your desktop or on the go with your mobile device, start your day with a morning brief from WGIL News. It's free, and you can subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Well, have the Streaks found a spark? Final 8 minutes will tell, I guess. But turnover there in the final 6 seconds. Actually, I guess it wasn't a turnover. It was a block, now that I think about it, wasn't it, Joe? Cody got up there and got the block. A big block. Came right back to him. Got it into the hands of Joe, who finally got off a shot right at the horn. Three-pointer puts the Streaks down 7. Now Ethan for 3. Good again!
3 straight three-pointers for the Silver Streaks, and they're right back in the game.
39-35. Is that three-pointer by Joe going to be enough to propel this team? Is that the one that got their spark going? 30 seconds into the fourth quarter, they've cut the deficit. It was 13. It's now 4 on a 9-0 run. Mitchell on the outside. Right side Walker in front of the UT bench, guarded by Range, as he has been much of the night. I kind of like Joe guarding him out there. They had it at the end of the third quarter. Mieske on the bounce pass on the give and go. Lopez blocked again by Cody Hawthorne. Crunch time player of the game, maybe. Meeker juggles the ball. Somehow he kicks it to himself. Triple team gets it over to Ross.
Yeah, I was wondering that on the block that propelled Joe onto the three-pointer just before the end of the quarter.
Left side over to Williams, right in front of the Galesburg bench. Streaks down four. Trying to make it two here. Maybe one. Ross into the game. Penetrates, drives, and coming over for the weak side block, Isaiah Sims. And now a steal by Range at midcourt. Streaks have numbers. He gives it to Williams for the layup. It's a two-point game. 39-37. 6.5 minutes to go in the game. Suddenly there's life in this gymnasium on the Galesburg side.
That's right, and hopefully they can get UT a little rattled here and just keep this run going.
Walker on the outside, just a sophomore. Mieske on the dribble on the wing, guarded by Meeker. Galesburg on a 10-0 run, making an 11-0 run. Down two, 6 minutes to go, and nearly another steal. Loose ball, Ross saves it. Walker comes in and somehow gets to the corner as he took it away from Range. Now Mitchell with a step back three, good!
What a horrible sequence. I don't know, that was such a weird, that ball was touched by four or five different people, and somehow UT comes away with it, and then Mitchell throws up a three and gives him a five-point lead.
Walker falling out of bounds, just sort of deflected it back in, and he deflected it so softly, the ball just kind of traveled parallel to the baseline toward the corner, and everybody else thought it was going out of bounds, except for Walker, who came back in bounds right as the ball was going past him. He had to avoid the contact and then just walked over with it into the corner, and once he'd established himself back in bounds, he got it back. And now UT with a full timeout, leading by five again with 5:47 to go in the game.
Well, hopefully that wasn't the sequence that turns the tide back in favor of the Panthers, because it was pretty lucky the way the thing turned out. Mitchell just found himself alone in the quarter and let the thing fly, and they're back at five. Still a long way to go, 5:47 to play, and the Silver Streaks, again, even in the huddle, still looked to have a little more life even after that three-pointer. Streaks at the third quarter, they had to hit the final two shots to get to 11 of 36 from the field. So they have been 9 of 34 up until that point. And United Township having a little more trouble scoring right now because they're not getting all those free throws that they had in the first half.
Yeah.
They spent the whole first half at the free throw line, had more free throw points than they did field goal points.
All right, so Galesburg has the ball here coming out of the UT timeout as Mark Polite tried to settle his team down. Five-point Panther lead. Meeker on the outside skips it right side over to Joe. Trying a little weave out high. Now they get it down to Hawthorne driving in, and a block by Lopez, but a foul called as the officials say he got Hawthorne on the arm, and Cody will go to the line shooting two here. He's 2 for 4 tonight at the free throw line. Third foul of the game on Taylor Lopez. 5:28 to go in the game. The left-handed Hawthorne makes the first one. Well, Cody's come up big here late in the third quarter and early fourth quarter. Knocks down a couple free throws here. He strengthens his candidacy as Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. They're both good. He's got 4 points all from the line tonight. Three-point Panther lead. Streaks with a full-court press on UT. Williams in the face of Mitchell, who gets it on the bounce pass over to Walker. Still in the backcourt. Now Walker backs up, gets it into the front court, touched by Mitchell just in time. Into the right corner to Sims. They'll bring it back out to Mitchell. Sims has had a couple big blocks for UT. He doesn't look very threatening. Listed at 6 foot. He looks taller than that. Says he had a couple big blocks on a give and go. They get it down to him. Another Hawthorne block. This time it goes back to Lopez. Mieske hits a three.
Players on both ends going for the block shot every chance they get.
Boy, the student body of United Township, as soon as Mieske got that ball, they were all up. They expected that to go in, and it did.
He's got 17 on the night to lead the Panthers, who are up by 6 again. 4:38 to go. Meeker with a drive. In from the left, up with the right hand. 30-second timeout streaks. Gelsberg down 4, 45-41.
Big play right there and a nice answer from Ethan. Traded 2 for 3, but that's all right. We just needed a bucket one way there or the other to keep this thing in a couple of possessions. Still, over half of this fourth quarter to go. It's anybody's ballgame.
Dixon finishes off a 21-point win over Rockford Lutheran, 58-37. So the Dukes go into regional play with just one loss on the season.
And that regional therein is weak,
yeah,
with a capital W.
Yep. In fact, I think I heard Mike Reynolds say that they were scouting Dixon tonight, already in anticipation that they're going to win that. But the Streaks have their own issues to deal with in the regional next week. Gelsberg with a full court press, 4:35 to go in the game. Down 4 and batted out of bounds by UT. Meeker and Ross collapsed on Walker in the far corner, and the sophomore has looked a little shaky handling the ball here late in the game, and they forced him to dribble it uncontrollably and out of bounds. Ross directing traffic, still on the floor with 4 fouls. They need to get it in, and finally Williams retreats all the way back to half court and takes the inbound pass from the corner from Ross. Joe steps up to the arc, backs up from the double team, now on the hesitation drive, still finding an opening, and then has it bumped out of his hands. And then range comes from the backside of Walker and knocks it off Walker out of bounds. The Streaks get it right back.
So do you have possession? A couple of turnovers there? Or?
Yeah, I'll count it. Sure, right. Why not? Into the backcourt, Ross to Meeker. Approaching the midpoint of quarter number 4, Streaks down 4 with the ball. They've created 2 UT turnovers here, trying to make something out of it. Range to the left side over to Williams. Joe up top to Meeker. Fakes a 3 and gets fouled by Mitchell. Ethan with the head and shoulder fake on the 3, and then Mitchell came in from the right side as Ethan started the drive, and that's only the 2nd foul of the game on Lamont Mitchell and only the 15th foul on the Panthers, so the Streaks do not get free throws out of it. Williams will inbound right at the front end of the Gelsberg bench into the backcourt to Ross. And we are now at the half point of the fourth quarter, 45-41. UT with the lead, Streaks with the ball. Williams to Meeker. 3 on the way. Short off the front of the rim. Rebound on the floor. Fought for. Austin protects the ball. And they're going to call a foul on J.J. Range, apparently, as he and Williams were trapping Alec Austin down below. Austin was moving, stepping, keeping the pivot foot down, and finally they call the reach on J.J.
Yeah, it seemed like we were intent on fouling right there. I understand if you got an opportunity, get the ball away, but we are kind of playing like it's the last 30 seconds there instead of 3.5 minutes to go.
And UT has been terrific from the free throw line tonight. And they don't show any signs of giving the Streaks any breaks there. 19 of 20, now 20 of 21 as a team as Austin makes the first one. He's got 3 points tonight to make it 4 as he knocks them both down. Back to a 6-point Panther lead, 47-41.
Speaking of free throws, I was watching Illinois the other night, and they're the best free throw shooting team in the nation. I didn't realize that until they brought up that stat. Fighting Illini tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock here on WGIL.
Step back by Williams, hits from the left baseline, and another timeout called by Mike Reynolds. He's trying to stretch this game out, stop the clock as much as possible. He's got one timeout remaining, 3:29 to go in the game. Streaks by 4, trailing by 4, 47-43. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com. Quincy defeats Alleman 56-36, so the Pioneers finish 0 of 10 in the Western Big Six. Quincy 7-3, currently alone in second place in the Western Big Six. Streaks need to come back down 4 to UT with 3:29 to go in the game, or else they will drop into third place in the conference.
Well, like you said, you never know as the season goes along. When we first saw Quincy down there, we left in December, we thought that was one of the poorer Quincy teams we'd seen. But new head coach Andy Douglas got those guys on the same page. They turned into a pretty solid team.
Well, and it all happened after the Christmas tournament, too, because that team was really limping coming out of the Collinsville tournament.
Yeah, but then they go up and beat Rock Island, only team to do that a number of years in the conference, and we're well on their way. Of course, the Silver Streaks beat them twice, so if we can win this, finish in a tie for second, Galesburg gets second place in the conference. We got our work to do
here. Here's a steal on the inbound, and then Ethan out of control, too strong off the backboard, and we got a push foul called against UT going for the offensive rebound. Ethan just kind of aggressively went to the backboard and tossed it up there. I think he was trying to draw the contact and get a couple of free throws out of it. Isaiah Sims instead fouls on the rebound after the miss by Meeker, and the Streaks hang on to it. Down four with the ball, under 3.5 to play. Williams. Joe dribbles to the left side of the top of the arc. Hesitation drive down the lane into a triple team and a blocking foul called. And they'll go back-to-back fouls, and that's seven now on UT, and it'll get Joe to the free throw line. First of the game on Alec Austin. Well, everybody's into the game now, aren't they? Senior night here at UT as their 13-point lead has diminished. Streaks got within three, trying to get back within three on this first free throw by Williams. It's up and off the mark.
Well, thank goodness Galesburg made it a game. There was a point where we were down 12 late third quarter, and I thought, boy, we may just get run out of here the way that was going. But Streaks have fought back in. Let's see if we can't finish the job, though, as Joe misses the second free throw as well. My goodness.
And a reach in by Ethan, and it goes off Lopez out of bounds right on the baseline. The Streaks thought they had it back, but the official keeps it with the Panthers. Two big misses by Joe Williams.
Yeah, nearly 74% free throw shooter coming into the game. Misses both of those at a pretty key time.
4 for 8 from the line, and a tough pass by UT. Austin gets to it as they break the press. Lopez driving in, and Hawthorne made him miss. I don't think Cody got the block, but he made Taylor miss, and the ball gets knocked out of bounds. Streaks get it back. And a lot of frustration by UT right now.
Sure is.
And the Streaks still trail by four as we approach the three-minute mark. Ross in the midcourt dribble, trying to get around Mieske. Hands off to Meeker. Ethan with a jump through the lane. Floater off the back of the rim. Rebound. Hawthorne fights it off and gets it back. Cody, you may have iced our Dave's Hot Body Crunch Time player of the game. He's been big here in this late game.
Yeah, win or lose, he's done the job.
Driving down the right side. Oh, how did Devin get that one in? Going to the low blocks, falling out of bounds, floats it up with the right hand.
A fading hook shot from the side.
Streaks within two, under 2.5 to play. UT breaks the press. Right side, Sims driving in. Baseline shot, no. Hawthorne another rebound.
Now that can't be the shot that Mark Polite wanted there. Sims, while he had five early, not a big scorer for them.
Meeker in the lane, out to JJ on the wing, back out to Joe. Streaks look for the tie, 2:10 to go in the game, or maybe take the lead down two. Ross driving in, pull up, 15-footer, off the back of the rim. Devin goes for the rebound, ball on the floor, and UT comes out with it as Mitchell picks it up. Now Mieske, pressured in the backcourt, into the front court. Panthers call timeout. 1:56 to go. UT with a two-point lead, and the ball will take a timeout as well. 47-45 Panthers. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Shoe shopping isn't what it once was. Your options? Self-serve in store or play the online game. Before you lose all hope in having a good old-fashioned shoe shopping experience, make a trip to Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have a full line of upscale shoes and boots that you can be fitted for and try on in the store. Brands like Sperry, Sass, Hansco, Bjorn, Florsheim, Merrill, Rockport, Timberline, and Red Wing. When you want a well-made pair of shoes with excellent fit and customer service that doesn't include a return mail label, you got to go to Breedlove's.
Hi, it's Tom Aridith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll talk with Nicole Campen from Big Brothers Big Sisters about the Bowl for Kids' Sake event coming up. That'll be just after 8:10 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Rock Island finishes the regular season 21-5. They beat Moline 59-42, their only loss in the Western Big Six at home in double overtime to Quincy a few weeks back. So this is the only game remaining in the Western Big Six tonight. UT with the ball, 1:56, fourth quarter, and a two-point lead, 47-45. The Streaks have picked up the tempo here in this fourth quarter. They've created havoc, and we've got a foul called on the inbound as Mieske and Meeker got tied up in the backcourt. They call Mieske for tripping up Meeker, and a delayed call by the official. I thought they were going to let that one go And it goes as a UT turnover, and the Streaks with another chance to tie the game or take the lead.
Mark Polite just did his best Steve Yount imitation. The coat came off on that one, and Mark is usually pretty mild-mannered. He's still barking about that one over there on the UT sideline.
Galesburg's last lead at 21-20. It's 47-45 Panthers here, a minute 40 to go in the game. That was obviously back in the second quarter. Ross around his man, drives to the baseline, gets it out to Williams. Tries to find an opening. He'll back it out between the circles. Good defense by the Panthers to fill the lane. Joe to the right side. Runs into a triple team. And a foul call to reach. They're going to get Lopez on that. If they do, that's his fourth. And Joe will go to the line shooting a 1-1 where he has struggled tonight. Four fouls on Lopez. Joe Williams only 4 of 8 from the free throw line in this game. But he could tie it up here. He's got to make the first one on a 1-1.
Said Mark Polite lost the coat, and he just about took the tie off right there, too. He was grabbing it, pulling it around a little bit. He's frustrated with the way this is getting called down the stretch on his team.
First one by Williams is good. 5 in the quarter, 11 for the half, and 18 for the game to lead the Streaks. Galesburg within 1, 47-46. Minute 28 to go. Second one off the mark, rebounded by UT's Mitchell, who's got 8 rebounds in the game. Joe Williams, 1 of 4 from the free throw line in this fourth quarter. UT in the backcourt still. Mieske, and a 10-second call! UT had no urgency whatsoever to get into the front court. They had no idea. They've got 6 turnovers in this final quarter.
Yeah, Mark Polite's a frustrated there. Mieske should have known better. He wasn't even close to the half-court line, and he just...
And was backing up.
Yeah, puts his palms up in the air, and Mark's over there going, what? Don't we understand the rules? We got 10 seconds to get it across here, guys.
Ross up top. Streaks looking for the lead. Williams drives. Basket up. No. Over the rim. Rebound fought for on the weak side. Going to the floor. Awesome. And we have a tie-up called. They're still down there fighting for it. The officials are unpiling. They're looking at each other. Somebody make the call. I'm assuming it's a tie-up. Yeah. Nobody signaled.
Yep. The one out here is pointing UT way. So Hawthorne doing a great job in there, though, just keeping that thing alive. He was out of position, but somehow got his arm in there enough to force the tie-up. And so the Silver Streaks, for a second time down, miss an opportunity with under a minute to go now.
Streaks keep the full court press on, and again, pressure in the backcourt between Meeker and Ross on Mieske batted out of bounds. Down to 55 seconds to go in the game, and the Panthers still with a one-point lead. Up court to Lopez. Behind him to Mieske at the free throw line. Mieske dribbling right, now left. Pressure in the backcourt. Mieske backing up again. Now bounces it in the front court. Travel. They get it down court, and a layup by Sims.
That's a tough one.
So nearly another 10-second call, and then once they get it into the front court, a layup by Sims. Streaks down 3, 35 seconds to go. Ross gives off to Williams. Streaks don't need a three-pointer here. They leave Devin open, and he hits! We're tied! They don't need it. They got it anyway. 49-49. 20 seconds to go. UT breaks the press. Driving. Lopez runs into Hawthorne. And an intentional foul called? What? Are you kidding me?
You got to be kidding me.
Cody steps up to try to draw the charge, and they call an intentional foul?
Well, the one official came over and asked that one and said, what's going on? And he threw his shoulder into him, and now Mike Reynolds has picked up a technical, and that's probably your ball game.
He did throw the tie off. You know, I don't blame Mike for being upset.
I've never seen that call in that situation ever.
And now the official who called the whistle is coming over to Mike. He's telling him to calm down. I don't blame Mike for being upset.
The official is saying that Cody threw a shoulder into him when he came into the lane.
Wow. So free throws on the foul by Hawthorne. His third. The technical on Reynolds.
So we got 4 free throws in the ball coming, right?
Well, it's going to be a 1-1, don't you think? I mean, he was dribbling the ball. I don't think he was in the act of shooting. Shouldn't it be a 1-1? It's only the 9th team foul. But then 2 free throws coming on the technical, and they get the ball back in a tie game with 16 seconds to go, and the first free throw is missed by Lopez. That's only their second miss tonight from the free throw line.
So it was a potential for a six-point trip.
Assuming that's the one and one right there. So this would be the technical free throw, and it's good. That puts UT back on top, 50-49, with 16 seconds to go. Nope, now they're going to put Mieske at the line. So apparently they are going to say that was a shooting foul. Well, I guess it's... Does the intentional foul, is that an automatic two-shot foul?
Apparently.
So Mieske makes the technical foul shot. It's a two-point lead. And he misses the second one.
Well, so we got a break. They've only made two out of four.
Two out of four keeps it a one-possession game, and now they get the ball back so if the Streaks can steal it or force a turnover. Now the officials are going to confer here. They've got all the players back near half court. They're standing at the top of the arc on the UT end. Mieske's sneaking in there trying to overhear the conversation. 16 seconds to go. The technical foul.
I'm not sure the taller official wouldn't do something to try and help us out a little bit. Because he was not in agreement with the other official about it. Because he came over and said, really? I think he was going to try and talk that other official out of the intentional foul call, but he would not have anything of it.
I would agree. I had the same interpretation of the body language and the dialogue there. And now the taller official, whom you referenced, Jim, is now going over to Mike Reynolds to give him an explanation, and Mike's doing more of the talking right now. UT is going to get the ball at half court. Alec Austin will inbound, guarded by Range. Streaks down two, 51-49. Mike's going to get Darius Sammons back into the game quickly. They're going to get Ross out of the game so he doesn't pick up his foot. Now they're going to take Hawthorne out. 16 seconds to go.
A weird finish up here at United Township tonight.
Wow. 51-49. Austin on the inbound. Needs to find somebody. Gets it into the backcourt. Now two Sims. Now into the hands of Mieske. And Meeker comes around to the backside with a swipe foul, trying to knock it out of his hands. And if nothing else, stop the clock with 12 seconds to go. But not the guy the Streaks want to foul.
Nope. And, of course, UT, knowing that, wants to keep the ball in his hands. He did miss one out of the two on the technical, but he doesn't miss many. If he buries two here, it becomes a two-possession game.
He made his first seven of the game. 7 of 8 from the line. He's got 6.5, 18 for the game. And the first free throw here is in and out. So the Streaks still with a chance. Even if he makes this one, it's only a three-point lead with 12 seconds to go. Hawthorne back in. Sammons out. Ross will come off the low block. Streaks want to get it into his hands to get it up court. Streaks battle all the way back to get it tied at 49, and now this weird ending. Mieske makes the second. 52-49. Here we go. 12 seconds to go. They roll it in. Ross finally picks it up into the front court to Williams. Now the Streaks do need a three. Joe back behind him to Devin with 7. Devin reverses left, comes back right. Streaks call timeout with 5 seconds to go. Their final timeout. So now that job number one is even to get it in bounds, because you got no timeouts to bail your team out if they have trouble getting it in, yeah, and then get it open for a shot.
Yeah, I'm not too sure UT presses the ball much on the inbound with a three-point lead. They can pretty well sit back comfortably in the paint, and knowing that Gelsberg is going to pretty much have to go for a three-point shot, I think they just try and defend that three-point line and see what happens.
Well, it comes down to that great debate again. Do you just foul them, put them at the line shooting free throws, and not even give them a chance to shoot the three? But then you run the risk of missing a free throw and getting an offensive rebound.
Sure. Yeah, I rarely see that. Whether college, I've seen some opportunities. It seems to me like there is a bit of a gentleman's agreement out there that's not the way to win the ball game, is to commit an intentional foul.
It's talked about so many times, and you're right. I can't think that I've ever seen it more than maybe once in a college game anyway.
Yep.
All right, Ross, started to head to the sideline as if he was going to inbound. Now he stopped and he went back, and he said something to Joe Williams and gave him a slap 5 low. Kevontae Shaw, J.J. Range, Ethan Meeker also into the game. Ross will inbound it in the Streaks front court, 5.3 seconds to go. Ross on the inbound, looking for Joe, now gets it into the backcourt. Joe across midcourt, he gets fouled.
They did it.
Isaiah Sims reached in and fouled him before Joe could get it across midcourt. With 3.7 seconds to go, puts Joe at the line shooting two. Both teams in the double bonus. So
You don't see it often, but they just went ahead and committed the foul there.
And I think the strategy changes whether he makes the first one or not. If he makes the first one, you miss the second one. I think you got to, don't you? But he misses the first one, so now you have to make the second one and then try to go for the steal on the inbound. If he makes the first one, with Thompson and Hawthorne coming back into the game, you can try to get the offensive rebound by missing the second and try to tie the game. But by missing the first one, well, he automatically misses the second one. It's out to Meeker for three. Good! Oh, unbelievable!
Oh, my gosh.
It works! We're going to overtime! Unbelievable!
Wow. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it.
Williams fired the shot on the free throw directly off the backboard. Thompson and Hawthorne filled the lane, batted it out to a wide-open Meeker on the wing, and we're going to overtime. How in the world?
And Meeker was wide open.
Wide open.
And just measured that with no trouble and buried it. And, yeah, you don't make that work once in 50 times. That was the time. Thank goodness we did. I just, at least we've got a clean slate. We can play 4 minutes of basketball after this mess that was the last minute here. Wow. And, you know, you can't just throw it off the backboard. You've got to catch some rim. And he did catch, just grazed the rim coming off there hard enough to where then they kicked it out. And I don't know. I'd like to see it again. I don't know whether that was a brilliant play on our part or we just got really lucky the
way
the ball bounced.
Well, you've got to have some luck. You've got to have some luck. And Mike Reynolds came out of that when the horn sounded going into overtime. He came out. I have not seen Mike get so much air on a very aggressive chest bump on Joe Williams.
Well, and I don't think the Panthers really knew what was that. They were just standing around. And they really weren't ready for that hard free throw and didn't seem to want too much a part of that ball. And the Streaks took advantage of it.
So the midcourt jump on a four-minute overtime. And it's deflected into the backcourt. J.J. nearly got there and stole it away from Lopez, but UT with the ball. We're tied at 52 in overtime. If I hadn't seen it, I don't know that I'd believe it. Up top, a three by Austin. Good. And they answer right back, and here comes UT. They have not trailed since the Streaks were up by one midway through the second quarter. The Streaks have come back to tie it twice here in the fourth quarter, and now in the overtime, the Panthers strike first. Ross has played the entire fourth quarter, drives with a right-hand floater, no. Rebound, Meeker put back short, under the basket, up by Thompson. It's short, but he's fouled.
Good to see Eric Thompson back out there. He hasn't
Lopez
been able to contribute much tonight. Hopefully he'll come up big in the overtime.
No, Sims just fouled out of the game for UT.
Sims had a nice night. He's been active on both ends of the court.
Well, he got the layup down here after the Streaks nearly had back-to-back 10-second calls on UT, and then on the second one when they just barely escaped, Sims got the big layup that I thought was going to seal it for him as Thompson gets a tremendous roll for the first free throw.
Yeah, he threw a bullet up there, and it just rolled all over the rim, kicked off the backboard, and finally went in.
Second one, off the back of the rim, rebound to Ross, got a hand on it, saves it to Meeker, and the Streaks get it back with a chance to tie it or take the lead. Meeker starts the drive, inside the free throw line, scores, and we're tied again. 55-55, 3:05 to go in the overtime. Williams, pressure on Walker in the backcourt. Now they get into the front court, chased down by Lopez to the left wing, and back into the hands of the sophomore Walker. UT's been very shaky in the last 9 minutes. They almost did just enough to hold off the Streaks. Now into the hands of Mieske, trying to fight around the screen is Meeker. And they're going to call the Streaks, trying to come out on the help. And a hand check foul called. And that'll put the wrong guy for the Streaks. Mieske at the line. Third foul of the game on Eric Thompson.
You know, I'd say these guys are probably really tired because Gelsberg, especially since the last 8-10 minutes, has had to pressure so hard. But there have been so many stoppages of play. As Mieske hits the first free throw, I think they've had plenty of time to catch their breath. You've had timeouts. You've had controversy and not been any trips up and down the court where we haven't had a whistle.
Second one by Mieske, good as well. So both teams trying to settle in here a little bit early in the overtime. We played a minute 13 seconds, 2:47 to go with a 4-minute extra session. Meeker and Ross in the backcourt. 57-55 Panthers. UT looking for the season sweep. Devin on a curl. In from the right side. Bank shot a little bit strong. Got the shot up over Mieske. Ball batted out of bounds. UT couldn't control it. And another chance for the Streaks. He got an offensive rebound count for me here in the fourth quarter in overtime because the Streaks have had a bunch.
Yeah, let's see. I've had four here just in the last couple of minutes.
On the inbound to Meeker, left corner, trying to drive away from his man. And on the defensive switch, they prevent Ethan from getting off a shot. Now he strikes the penetration inside the wing, brings the ball down low, needs help, gets it out to Thompson. Up top, JJ. Now Ross in the midcourt circle. Good defense by UT. Streaks were trying to find an opening, couldn't do it. Now here's Devin driving in from the left side to the low blocks, bounces it back out to Meeker. Devin. Thompson saying, I'll set the screen. Ethan with a drive inside the free throw line with a right hand all the way up and in.
Crossed all the way over the lane, and the Streaks are tied.
UT didn't defend after Ethan got into the lane. Now here's Lopez for three. That one's off the mark. Ethan with a rebound. 8 boards in the game for Ethan Meeker, and the Streaks with a chance to take their first lead since late in the second quarter. Minute 50 to go in the overtime, tied at 57. Ross in front of the Galesburg bench. Meeker cutting in from the left side. Baseline. Rolls through. Streaks with the lead. Meeker's made 4 straight shots. It's 59-57.
Say, if we hold on to this one, it may be Meeker's finest hour here. He's showing a lot of leadership out there.
Bounce pass into the front court. Austin thought he stepped on the sideline on the far side. Now driving down the lane. A travel and no call as Mitchell stutter steps through the lane off balance. And he finishes off with the shot. And we're tied at 59.
Well, both teams have struggled at times tonight, and the officials have struggled at times tonight on both ends of the court. So I guess it's appropriate. We're deadlocked here with 1:05 to go.
JJ on the right side, up top to Ross. Left side, Meeker again. Yes!
Boy,
three-pointer!
He did not hesitate a second. He got that and let it fly. He is feeling it right now.
And what's the whistle here? The officials have stopped. I thought maybe we had a timeout. They call a foul on Eric Thompson on an elbow? Yep.
So now they'll shoot free throws on the other end.
With 1 minute to go, Eric picks up his 4th after the Meeker basket that puts the Streaks back up by 3, 62-59.
At least it's not Mieske at the line this time. It's Nate Zinke.
Don't look now, but Ethan Meeker has 24 points. He's made 5 straight baskets. 15 in the fourth quarter and the overtime with 1 minute to go.
That's so, too bad with the foul. We finally get a three-point lead, and they can come back down and trim it to 1 without taking any time off the clock.
I think he's only a 65% free throw shooter, though, when he misses the first one.
Yeah, he and Eric Thompson are pretty similar in a lot of ways. And height, not very good at the free throw line.
Second one, good. 62-60, Galesburg by 2, under 1 minute to go. Meeker, here comes the trap between Mieske and Mitchell, and now Mieske gets a little too aggressive, coming up for the ball, his 2nd foul. Meeker will shoot 2 free throws.
Well, if the Silver Streaks can hit free throws, the hammer is in our hands right now. Up by 2, and continue to keep them at bay. But our free throw shooting has not been stellar so far again this evening.
First one up and in. 63-60. Now Meeker's free throw could make it a 2-possession game. It's perfect. Meeker with 26.
I'm thinking Cody Hawthorne may have to share that day's out-of-body crunch time player of the game as things have unfolded here late.
Meeker with 26 points tonight has moved into 8th place on the all-time scoring list past Jason Shea. And he and Cody Hawthorne have come up big here in the fourth quarter to lead the Streaks to a 4-point lead with 45 seconds to go in the overtime.
Let's get a stop here. Things would look really nice if we get a stop right here.
Meeker is just hounding Mieske. A long 3 by Mitchell. Nothing was happening. Mitchell just launched it, and Ethan gets his 9th rebound. There was nothing moving for UT, and just almost out of desperation, Mitchell just fired it up.
A long, long 3, and Alec Austin has defiled foul Devin Ross now, and so with 29 seconds left, Ross will shoot free throws, up 4.
Ross with 10 in the game. First one up, off the miss to the left. Second foul of the game on Alec Austin, 29.7 seconds to go, a 4-point Galesburg lead. even if he makes them both, it still would have been a two-possession game. Could the Streaks fill the lane, get another offensive rebound? Hopefully they don't have to, and they don't. Ross with the make. It's 65-60 Galesburg. Little pressure in the backcourt. Mieske drives into the front court. Yeah. They called Meeker on the foul. He got leveled between Zinke. In fact, I thought Mieske even reached out with the arm and just pushed Ethan right into Zinke. And they call Ethan for the foul. Only his second, but it stops the clock with 24.7 seconds to go, and it puts Zinke right back at the line where he makes the first one. His only 2 points tonight have come in the last minute from the free throw line. 65-61, Panthers trying to get it back to a one-possession game, and he makes them both. So it's back to a three-point game now, 65-62. 24.7 seconds to go. Galesburg with the ball. UT with a press. Ross hopping on the baseline. Now runs the baseline. Reverses left and batted out of bounds by Walker as he tried to get into the corner to Ethan. And now he can't run the baseline, right?
He's stuck clear in the corner, too.
Sure is.
It's a tough spot to be.
With Lopez right in front of his face. Now the official's going to come out. What's he pointing at? He signals something either toward... Yeah, Devin can't move. He's got to inbound it up the near side, up the far side, rather than to Williams. Now into the hands of Meeker, who drives, backs away, works his way between the circles, trying to run clock with 17 seconds to go. He gets fouled. The chase was on. Lopez and Austin finally caught up to Ethan. That'll be the third of the game on Austin. And Meeker back to the line, shooting two with 16.7 seconds to go and a three-point lead.
In addition to making shots, which has been great, I thought Ethan showed a lot of leadership in so many ways here. His first free throw was off the front iron, no good. There have been a couple of occasions he could have gotten really frustrated with calls and hasn't. You know, he's a very level-headed kid, and that's come in real handy in this passionate finish tonight.
Makes the second one, 29 on the night for Ethan Meeker. Four-point Galesburg lead. 13 seconds to go. Walker on the right side, around a man. Let him go, guys. He takes it all the way in for the basket, and UT will call a timeout. 66-64 with 8 seconds to go. You didn't want to foul him. And now UT will have to go for the inbound steal to try to get their own tie and go to a second overtime or a three-pointer for the win. Well, the Streaks with the ball in control here, in command of their own destiny, with 8 seconds to go, and whether or not they can polish off this victory.
Well, to get in the double bonus, which is nice, because you figure UT, as soon as we get it inbounds, as long as they don't get a steal, they're going to foul, and should leave themselves enough time to get back down the court. If we only make one free throw, it's still a one-possession
game. Yep.
So I really wasn't crazy about our defense right there. I thought we just gave them a basket, which, you know, if you're up 6 or 8, okay, but you're only up 4. We were pressuring the ball so hard out high. As soon as they broke that, you know, our three guys just that were anywhere near the ball just stood there and watched it happen. And I'm like you, I don't want to foul, but I would have liked to seen it just go ahead and drop back and play a little more defense right around the paint. Don't just give them an easy two. But it'll all be for naught as long as we can get the ball in bounds here and maybe get a free throw and go home with a win.
Full court press by UT, and now the Streak call their final timeout. Devin Ross didn't like what he saw as he ran the baseline. Pretty good defense by the Panthers, and now Galesburg without a timeout. That was their only time. They had used all their timeouts at the end of the regulation, but teams get one back into an overtime, and Ross used that one there to prevent a turnover.
And the way this game has gone, just don't get too comfortable with anything until the final buzzer. It was interesting to see the... When Meeker hit the shot to send it into overtime, the UT players, they really were in shock. I mean, they were kind of walking around like, really?
So were we.
We got to play more? they walked very slowly back to the huddle. They just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Crazy ending to the regulation as an intentional foul call on the Silver Streaks, which... maybe the worst call we've seen all year. We usually don't have a lot to say about the officials, but that led to a Mike Reynolds technical foul. And between the intentional and the technical, UT was going to get the ball back, but they only made 2 out of the 4 free throws. And then the Streaks held defensively. Now, Ross runs the baseline, gets it into Meeker, gets fouled immediately from the backside by Mieske. riding him a little bit from the backside. Third foul of the game on Mieske, and now Ethan can put this game away, really.
Yep.
7.7 seconds to go. Two-point lead. If Ethan makes them both, he'll match his career high. He's got 29 right now, and he'll make it a four-point game. See what he does here. First one up and short.
Boy, now we really need this one.
Oh. So now UT with a chance to send it into a second overtime. They're going to get 6'6 Nate Zinke back into the game for height and rebounding purposes. Mike Reynolds counters with Cody Hawthorne. 7.7 seconds to go. Second one from Meeker coming. It's up and in. He's got 30. Streaks lead by three. 67-64. In the backcourt, Walker. Into the front court. Works his way to the right sideline. Now UT calls its final timeout with 3.2 seconds to go.
All right, so did the Silver Streak use the same method? To get it inbounds, immediately foul. Don't let him shoot a three-pointer. It'll be interesting to see what Mike Reynolds wants to do. Our luck is we'd foul the guy shooting the three, bury it, hit the free throw, and we go home
with
a one-point loser.
Who knows how this thing's really going to end up, because we've seen so many wild things here tonight. And again, after the foul, the Streaks had the ball coming out of a timeout. UT did foul Joe Williams as the pass went into the backcourt. Down three with 3 seconds to go. And again, we talked about the strategy. If Joe makes the first one, if he misses the first one, well, he missed the first one. He intentionally missed the second one, hard off the backboard. And somehow the Streaks got the rebound, deflected it out to a wide-open Ethan Meeker, who canned the three that sent us into overtime. And now we're at that position where UT is looking to do the same kind of a thing here. They've got the ball with 3 seconds to go. Coming out of a timeout with a 67-64 Galesburg lead. It's Ross, Williams, Meeker, Darius Sammons, and J.J. Range on the floor for the Streaks. It'll be Mieske, Mitchell, Lopez, who's played a significant amount of time with 4 fouls without fouling out, Walker, and inbounding Alec Austin at the front end of the UT bench. 3 seconds to go. Into the right corner. Mitchell for three for the tie. It's too long. Ross with the rebound, and the Streaks win it in overtime. 67-64. The teams line up. A bitter end for UT on senior night. And what a finish for the Silver Streaks to head into regional play with their 24th win and a second-place finish in the Western Big Six.
Quite a way to finish the regular season with a game like this.
67-64 in overtime. Post-game show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Dave's Auto Body on Grant Avenue in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Reed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street in front of the Sandberg Mall. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. Altogether, better. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from Galesburg Nissan. Stop by and check out the all-new 2015 Nissan Altima, one of the most innovative, exciting, and fuel-efficient cars available today. Over 180 vehicles to choose from at Galesburg Nissan, right in front of Sandberg Mall.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School boys basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Galesburg.info, Galesburg's homepage. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks basketball on WGIL.
In order to play your best game, you got to have a great team by your side. You need someone making sure you're covered at all times. That's where I come in. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Craddy Insurance will help you select the right coverage for your home, so when the game of life doesn't go as planned, you're covered. And with our out-of-home discount, you'll save money, too. Give me a call or stop by Craddy Insurance today on North Henderson Street, and let's talk about your options with Rockford Mutual Insurance.
The official WGIL forecast, clear skies with a low of 5 below tonight. Lowest wind chill readings 5 below to 15 below 0 after midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 22. Wind chill readings between 5 below and 15 below 0 tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, snow with 1 to 2 inches of accumulation possible, a low of 17. And Sunday, snow with light accumulation possible, high around 30. Sunday night, cloudy skies, a low of 12. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 3 above at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Stats and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds. WGIL's coverage of GHS boys basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
I don't know how you begin to summarize this one. Streaks win it in overtime 67-64. Through three quarters, they had 32 points. And really, through much of three quarters, they had only 29 points. They score 35 in the fourth quarter in the overtime. And they end up winning it tonight, 67-64 in overtime. Ethan Meeker finishes one short of his career high with 30. Let's just go ahead and call it, Jim. Ethan and Cody Hawthorne, our Days Auto Body co-crunch time players of the game.
Yep.
My goodness.
Hawthorne at a time where we just had nothing going on right, but he just kept fighting and keeping things alive. And then Ethan feeling it in that fourth quarter and then hitting the big shot that tied it on the miracle carom. I mean, this was almost miracle on ice stuff here tonight. I guess we didn't play the Russians, but still.
Felt like 5-on-8 at times,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, well, it did. So, yeah, quite a finish. We'll remember this one for a while. Again, was one of those that it didn't really count for that much, except I guess it does for standings. The Streaks, by winning this, get second place in the Western Big Six. Since Quincy won tonight, we had to win. And I think bigger than that is what it means going to Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Kids go out off this court. I mean, Williams, somebody else were hugging Ethan. They were pointing at him like he's the man. You know, they knew that he really carried the mail out here tonight. And so to go to Tuesday night with a little newfound enthusiasm sure can't hurt.
Well, and there's no doubt they were doing everything they could to get him the ball because of what he was doing to single-handedly, at least from an offensive standpoint, lead this team back. Cody Hawthorne had 5 rebounds in the game, 4 of them in the fourth quarter. And 3 of those 4, I know, were tremendously fought. I mean, it was sheer effort that got Cody those rebounds. Plus, he had a couple, 3 blocks in this game. 2 huge ones in the fourth quarter to help spark that comeback when the Streaks were down 13 at 39-26. They scored the last 6 points of the third quarter, really in about the last minute of that third quarter. Came all the way back to within 2 actually, at 39-37, part of that 11-0 run that got them within 2 early in the fourth quarter. They forced 6 United Township turnovers in the fourth quarter, had a number of opportunities to tie the game or take the lead, and just couldn't get it done. And yet their defense was preventing UT from spreading the lead at all. And then UT did eventually get back up by 6 at 47-41. The Streaks call back within 1 at 47-46. UT gets the layup that goes up by 3. The Streaks get a 3-pointer to tie it. And then the unbelievable finish after the intentional foul called and the technical foul called on the Streaks, a potential 6-point play for the Panthers. They end up getting 3 out of it. And then we come down to the other end, and the miracle finish, as Jim said, what shouldn't have even been an opportunity to tie the game, ends up on an intentional missed free throw, an offensive rebound saved out to Ethan Meeker for a wide-open 3 at the buzzer to send us into overtime. And he keeps the hot shooting going, and the Streaks win it. 67-64 is the end result. I said I don't know how we summarize it. It takes a long time to summarize it, but Mike Reynolds is making his way up here. I can't wait to hear his explanation for this one.
Yeah, he's right up here.
Streaks finished the regular season 24-7, second place in the Western Big Six at 7-3, and UT finishes 14-12 and 3-7. Let's go out to Jim Lee now, who's with the head coach.
All right, Coach, wow. If you watch the NCAA tournament later this month, I'm not sure you'll see anyone more exciting than that. May not have been perfectly played, but I'm sure you drew up that the missed free throw and the Meeker three-pointer at the end. All the credit goes to you.
No, it goes to Coach Sullivan, because when we started missing all those free throws, we put in that free throw. And you notice we get a lot of rebounds on free throws now. We run a little stunt, and we just said tip it out. Meeker got it and shot it. That, you know, happens once in a great while. It doesn't happen very often. And that's the new trend, to foul when you're up three, you know, under 4 or 5 seconds. And they did it. You know, if they put the dribble down, we were going to do the same thing. I don't think we fouled him in the corner. I think he was just kind of flopping. But it was Ethan Meeker's best player in the gym, and that's what we need from him every night. I mean, he was really, 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 really good in the second half.
We've been looking for a spark. This team's been looking for confidence here, especially in the last couple of weeks. What's the locker room like after this win and the way this thing finished here tonight?
Well, I'm praying we turn the corner, you know, because, I mean, that's as excited. And when you win a game like that, that's enough to get your energy going for next week. And we know Limestone and or Canton, I mean, especially Limestone, they've got those really good players, those three really good players. And we're going to have to guard those guys. And we're going to have to shoot it better than we did tonight. And our energy and effort. And we finally, again, that last fourth quarter, that's the team we had in Monday on Taylorville. You know, they stayed together. They weren't giving in. And that's been our talk all week. Together, 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 together. Because that Monday at Taylorville, there was no more together team in the country than what we were. We're all for a common goal. And I'm hoping that sparks us back into that.
Ethan obviously was huge late in this ball game. We thought we might be dead in the water down 12 late in the third quarter. We thought Cody Hawthorne was awfully big for you, keeping balls alive and doing some good things.
Cody played extremely hard and extremely well. And you know, with him and Eric in there, they went in a small that we had to kind of take one of them out. And Cody got the hot hand, getting some rebounds and you know, getting a couple deflections. And we went with the hot hand, and he played really well. And then Eric came to start the overtime, hit a free throw, and did some nice things. And just the way we stayed together, the way we stayed together and didn't let all the craziness get to us as much as I let it get to me, you know, the guys stayed together, and it was a good thing.
It's one of the most baffling calls we've seen all season long on the intentional foul called, that at such a key point of the game that almost took away that tremendous comeback of the fourth quarter. Yeah. What was the explanation on that?
Well, I got no explanation from the guy that I wanted to yell at some more, but the other ref said I have no idea what he called. I'm sorry. So I don't know what to say to that. And then they said they were shooting the technical first. And then a different guy shot the next shots, and then they said, well, we messed that up, and, you know, whatever. You know, it was a little disjointed there at the end. We found a way to win the game. And that's what we did when we were at Taylorville, when we all had that common bond and common goal. And I even found my tie, so it was a good night.
Well, and your friend and opposing coach, Mark Polite from East Moline, he'd been pretty reserved, and then there a couple of calls went against him. He lost his coat and just about lost his tie. This game had energy at every aspect, I guess.
Well, I think Mark and I knowing each other so well brings another element to it. You know, I think our kids know that, and you know, we don't see each other as much as we used to when we lived next to each other in Danville, obviously. But you know, there isn't a better guy or better basketball coach than him, and he's got those guys. You know, he's had a turmoil season just like we have, ups and downs, and craziness happening, different lineups all the time, and he's got those guys playing. I mean, they played extremely well, and you know, they got two bona fide all-conference players, and I think certainly Walker, you know, just because they only give eight. If he puts him up, I'll vote for him. I think the kid's really good, but, you know, they only give eight, but he'll certainly be on an all-conference team here soon.
I want to give you a chance to address how Devin Ross played. He had some tough calls tonight, really got into some foul trouble, and he played late in that third quarter. Really, I mean, you had to put him back in when you did, because we couldn't get anything going offensively with him on the bench. For him to play the whole rest of that game without picking up the fifth foul was, I thought, tremendous. Maybe one of his best games from that respect, too. He played really smart.
I thought Devin Ross was really, really, really good. You know, and he played extremely hard, and he got some tough fouls maybe that we haven't got, you know, those off-the-ball fouls. I thought those guys were jockeying for position pretty good. And you know, our guys played really hard, and he played really well, and our offense had a better flow. Certainly that's probably why he's an all-conference type player. You know, your offense has a lot better flow when you have better players out there.
Of course, when you think back on a game like this, it's kind of like the end of the Super Bowl. All you think of is the interception, and here you think of Meeker with the three pretty much. But You go back the end of the third quarter, big block down here on this end, and then we get the three-pointer from Joe Williams, off-balance shot at the buzzer. That seemed to be the play that brought a little life into this team.
Well, Joe's the one guy that you know, left. You know, Grant was really good at it, but that can make off-balance or what you would consider bad shots. You know, one that maybe you don't have all your feet set or whatever. He's the guy that can make those on our team. And he got an opportunity to make that. He made it. And his you know, Devin's three and then his three really, 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 really sparked us.
All right, Mike, the bottom line is you got a little lift you needed going on to Tuesday night, and I got to think this will make practice a whole lot more fun the next day or two.
Yeah, we're going to give tomorrow off, get our legs back, and then, you know, Sunday, Monday, and you know, Limestone or Canton, we're going to hopefully have our A game and fight like crazy and see if we can win the thing.
Happy for you and the team. Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
Our thanks, as always, to Mike Reynolds for joining us here in the post game. And, wow, what a finish it was, not only to the regular season, but just to this game. Streaks win it in overtime, 67-64. We'll run through all our final statistics when we come back on the post game on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from Galesburg Nissan. Stop by and check out the all-new 2015 Nissan Altima, one of the most innovative, exciting, and fuel-efficient cars available today. Over 180 vehicles to choose from at Galesburg Nissan, right in front of Sandberg Mall.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School boys basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Galesburg.info, Galesburg's homepage. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks basketball on WGIL.
WGIL congratulates Beth Heron of Galesburg, who won $500 when she was spotted wearing the WGIL button. Congratulations, Beth, from Galesburg Radio 14.
Silver Streaks win it in overtime here tonight in the regular season finale at United Township High School. We've got final statistics to go through. We haven't taken the opportunity to compare. We'll just have to do it on the fly, Jim. But
well, the only number we really care about was that one on the scoreboard at the end. But I'll tell you what, it's
amazing how the switch flips, isn't it? And the Streaks were 1 of 10 shooting in that third quarter. Ross comes in off the bench, as we just talked about with Mike Reynolds. He had to put him back in because the offense was just stagnant without him.
Falling apart.
Devin hits a three. And then as you recapped, the big block by Cody Hawthorne at the tail end of the third quarter, which led to a Joe Williams three right at the buzzer. So the Streaks score the final six of the third quarter, and the momentum keeps on going into the fourth quarter, and we still need... Well, you said it was a miracle finish. I just don't know how. There's no other way to say. We still need that miracle finish and the three-pointer by Meeker at the fourth quarter buzzer to get it to overtime. And all of a sudden, the postseason is looking a little different.
Well, you know, that what they pulled off on that shot to tie the game, I mean, you try that in your driveway. You try that out on the playground at the park, you know, when you're doing stuff, and now I'm going to potentially miss the free throw, and then we're going to throw one in at the buzzer, and it
and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, but it did happen here. So that was what was so cool, to just witness that.
The Streaks were 1 of 13 from three-point range late in the third quarter, and when Ross hit that three-pointer, they made 6 of their next 7.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
And we talk about the switch flipping, and It's that confidence that Mike Reynolds has talked about. All of a sudden, there's determination and belief, I guess, more than anything else.
Sure. Well, it's a rolling thing, too, because when you get that, it's the whole momentum thing. Now you got United Township, you know, going, geez, what are we going to do here? I mean, I think certainly the 10-second call when they couldn't get it across half court, that they were just... They were kind of rattled, and then they were trying to play it too cool for a while, and they kind of lost their flow and their identity out there, and so it was a twofold thing, and the Streaks kept with it, and really the overtime, well, in the late fourth quarter, we didn't get up and down the court once full length without a whistle. I mean, it right. just stopped all the time. You had didn't have that many field goal attempts. You had a ton of free throws. So let's go ahead and take a look at the stats if you're ready for that.
Sure.
Okay.
Our post-game statistics brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home but not miserable when you get the bill.
I had both teams shooting 39% when all was said and done.
Seems fitting.
We had a lot more shots than they did, but they had more free throws than we did, too.
Yeah.
We were 22 of 56. At one point, we were just 9 of 34, so we came a long way from there. And so 39% there, and then United Township 15 of 38 and 39% going that route.
Wow, we got 18 more shots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, again, you know, they were spending time at the free throw line, and really not a big difference. No difference. I had to try both teams with 16 turnovers, so that wasn't a big factor.
Really?
Yeah. But the turnovers, I had 25.
You mean
not turnovers, excuse
rebounds.
Me. Yeah, 25 rebounds for UT, 30 for the Silver Streaks. And I didn't have UT with a single rebound in the overtime. Streaks with four. And you commented at one point there where you thought the Streaks were really, by sticking with it, getting more offensive rebounding opportunities late in the ball game. And as Mike Reynolds alluded to, a lot of it was just hard work.
Gosh, I had the Streaks with six rebounds in the overtime.
Okay.
Four for Meeker alone.
I probably became a spectator too long there.
Well, you couldn't help but just sort of sit and watch in amazement at times tonight. Is this really happening? Finishing off the team numbers, UT 4 of 11 from three-point range, Silver Streak 7 of 20, but again made 6 of their last 7. Galesburg 16 of 29 from the free throw line, UT 29 of 34 from the free throw line. But even as good as that was, they had some big misses in the fourth quarter when they could have iced the game away. Again, not to belabor the point, but that perplexing intentional foul, technical foul, then called on Mike Reynolds sequence, and they didn't make enough free throws there. That coming out of a tie game, they could have put the game away with a six-point play and ended up with only three out of it, and the Streaks got the three-pointer to send the game into overtime and win it from there.
I'm still laughing when I think of Mike asking the one official, what did he call it? He says, I have no idea.
But, you know, but that verifies exactly what we thought was going on down there when the officials were talking things over, because that's what it looked like was going on down there. The guy we thought was the lead official looked like he was trying to talk the other fella out of that intentional foul. And
he was going to have none of it.
No.
He was dead set on making sure that call. And I saw him once kind of lower his shoulder and then lift it up as if to say he thought Cody had given him an intentional shoulder coming in there. And while he held his ground, I sure would not have ever dreamed a flagrant foul. No. I've never seen one in that position. You know, I've seen guys, you know, clobber a guy going to the basket or any number of things, but just standing in the lane without your arms or anything, pretty unusual.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the individual scoring here. I think that's about all we have left to take care of from the statistical standpoint. Start off with the Panthers. Jacob Mieske finished with 21. Lamont Mitchell had 13. And quite honestly, a heck of a job by the Silver Streaks to hold Mitchell to just 13, as much as he can be explosive offensively. Alec Austin finished with 7, all in the second half in the overtime. Isaiah Sims also had 7. He fouled out of the game. Next up, Deontay Walker finished with 4. Nate Zinke had 3, all of those from the free throw line in the overtime. And Bryant Jefferson finished with 1. For the Silver Streaks, Ethan Meeker, our Dave's Auto Body co-crunch time player of the game, 1 short of a career high with 30 tonight. Joe Williams had 18. Devin Ross finished with 11, so the big three account for 59 of the streak 67. Cody Hawthorne, our other co-crunch time player of the game, 4 points, 5 rebounds, 3 big blocks. J.J. Range, Eric Thompson each with 2. Kevontae Shaw, Mark Mangieri, Darius Sammons did not score tonight for the Silver Streaks, who win it in overtime 67-64. They finished the regular season 24-7, 7-3. Tied record-wise with Quincy in the Western Big Six, but by virtue of defeating the Blue Devils both games in the regular season, the Silver Streaks are the outright second place team. Rock Island did win at Moline tonight by 16 to finish the conference at 9-1, their sixth consecutive Western Big Six Conference Championship. We'll take a timeout, talk about the regional when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
The Big Mac, so universally loved it has its own song. But it's not the only burger icon at McDonald's. Where's the song for the quarter pounder with cheese?
Got a lot of beef, beef and cheese, cheese and beef, beefy, cheesy, beef and cheese.
And beef.
The Big Mac and the quarter pounder with cheese. When you're hungry for some burger lovin', there's only one tune you need to know.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
During the radio auction, bid number 411, an artist drawing package with markers and light pad from Blick Art Materials.
The bidding begins Saturday, March 21st at 7 a.m. on WGIL.
Still in disbelief to some extent here at the Panther Den as the Silver Streaks have this miracle wild finish comeback to defeat the Panthers 67-64. So Mike Reynolds referenced it in our post-game interview there. What's coming up? Limestone and Canton from Canton High School Monday night. The winner of that game gets the top-seeded Silver Streaks in the 3A Regional on Tuesday. We'll have it here. And we are the first game, right? If I remember right.
Yes. 6 o'clock game.
So we'll have it for 5:40, I suppose.
It would be.
Maybe even a little earlier.
Really a surprise if it's not Limestone.
Yeah.
Canton's only won twice all year.
They've really struggled. And as you and I have talked about here in the last week, Limestone has been playing much better as of late.
Yeah. So I would pretty well count on that being them. I was just looking, this was just our second overtime game of the year.
Right.
The only other one, that Moline game.
Yep.
So,
which probably shouldn't have been an overtime either. UT would argue that this one shouldn't have been an overtime,
right.
And we would argue that that one shouldn't have been an overtime.
Yep.
So so we'll have it at 5. Well, it might even go a little earlier since it is, you know, postseason, kind of important. We'll come out of the news, I guess. We'll do a bottom-of-the-hour news at 5:30 on Monday and then come out of that with our pregame coverage for the Streaks and Limestone or Canton. And then the game to follow that, Peoria Emanuel and Peoria High School, the great rivalry from the old Mid-State 6 days as they'll meet up in the regional semifinal. And then those two winners will go at it a week from tonight, again, at Canton. So we hope you can be with it. Jim, we'll hash over this one all the way home tonight and maybe on through the weekend and into next week. But in the meantime, we'll just enjoy the 24th win of the season. And really, I still think a big lift for this team to finish off this season going into next week, because through two quarters and 7 minutes tonight, we sure didn't see much. And all of a sudden, we saw a team out there that had been missing in this Silver Streak uniforms for a while.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing when you hit some shots, everything turns around. And, you know, you do a season, we've done 31 basketball games, I guess 30 right now.
Nope, 31, you're
is
right.
31? Yeah, 24-7.
Well, we haven't been working that long, but
yeah, 24-7 record. Sometimes it feels like it, but the interesting thing is, of you know, and we put year after year after year of this together, and many times you and I will look at each other and try and say what happened there last year, and it'll be kind of a blur because we've been here 20 years doing this, but this is one of those nights we'll always remember that finish of regulation that
yeah.
was so unusual, the foul call. And then the missed free throw and the Maker three that ties it up on the miracle. I mean, that's every time we come to the Panther Den from now on, that's just one of those rare moments in basketball that you don't see very often.
I think we'll look at that spot over there, right, where
yep.
Maker hit that one wide open that got us into the overtime. All right, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you for the trip to Canton on Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brad.
Streaks win it tonight in overtime, 67-64. Sophomores fell 58-39. And we'll be at the 3A Regional on Tuesday against either Limestone or Canton. Coming out of the news at the bottom of the hour for our pregame coverage on Tuesday night. Our thanks to Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer. For Nick, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. An emptying out gymnasium here at UT with a lot of people still kind of wondering what happened here tonight. But the Streaks won it by three. Good night from East Moline.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.